Children being given digital things by when it was attached to them, our target was when the school starts to think this should be a teacher. So we didn't look for better on that. So we'll give details about actually where we are. But I can say we're opening another school in the weekend tomorrow. We are heading for 100 schools that we have built and completed. So we'll give you more details. The other area of work is around district monitoring, support and improvement. One area we take lots of attention on is the DM. Clear effective structure for districts through implementable but flexible norms and standards derived from existing policies. Up to now, we have norms and standards. Every province was taking its districts away to us. It was really taking lots of imbalances. And what we have done is we've looked at the best practice of provinces and tried to have a hybrid of some norms that we think districts must comply to. What we also found is the most effective provinces are the ones with very effective systems. So we have created the hybrid. If you look at the top four provinces, which is Gauteng, Western Cape, Free State, and Northwest, they have very effective system systems. And we've created norming. So that other provinces really should try to get close to our province. So we're also working with provinces to really ensure that they appoint the right people in the right roles in all districts and raising the bar on accountability, defining norms and minimum resource packages for district officials. Is that other than some provinces have not been able to properly resource their districts, guide and improve effectiveness of schools. And this area for us is very important because districts are the nearest point to schools where we always say, and it's a month or two years to say, if anything we do does not impact on schools, it's not better for you. So it has to have an impact on the school because we have a challenge the teacher has. So we're really working hard. The other area which the faculty and first presence around teachers, the deployment, their placement, and their skills. Again, a very exciting program that we have initiated, which we expand on. Very exciting, initiatives that the department has been very involved in, I think, to the faculty team also. It's just a little bit of target in our general teachers because reporters and reporters are the program teachers. We profile all our teachers, we know their qualifications, we know those that are mistakes and mismatched. So to work with provinces to move to the state, it's the province that employs teachers. But what is very exciting for me, last week I was in the Department of Women, it's given the tools that we have developed, ICT-based, which helps teachers to identify what are the specific and individual teachers skill shortages. And that program helps them to identify, to say, teacher, you have very poor listening skills, this is a basic skill for teachers. They're at 60%, and then you say these are the programs that are there, which a teacher can do on their own without anybody being involved. But again, it gives us, in a very targeted manner, teacher by teacher, where are the schools difficult. So the programs are targeted not on the cohorts, but on different teachers, because all of them bring different skills. We've done the one on languages, but we're doing the one on lesson science also. Train individual teachers, because when they're in the classroom, they teach us individual teachers. Again, we are working with the presidency around ICT. And our main focus area are the big part results, and that's why the operation transition on ICT with different departments working with us. We associated with experts, independent ICT experts, international voices at the World Bank, and our own education stakeholders. And we have launched this in December 2014, and the idea is to improve our connectivity because we do believe that our system has to improve much faster in a sustainable manner, we're strengthening our work around ICT and in the different forms. On Carrie Good Day, Prime Minister to make his announcement on library, school library services. He's done lots of work, consultation with provinces, and can say we're ready because fortunately, as I say, the money has been allocated through debt, and we have to provide plans with our provinces, and we are linking the library services to our leading campaign so that more than anything, more than just books, it must be targeted around areas which are the biggest problem. Again, they would mobilize partners, hotelians, partners, kinds of municipalities which are running libraries, and have special programs to look at that, even not having everybody else look at that, but to see the huge area. And you do things that people can get the reading right. Not only, that's why we're happy that it's a good text. But our research tells us, which I don't think we've had an opportunity to share with you, check. It's nations which are reading as nations, not schools, that have their kids reading. So we really want to work with tech around encouraging South Africans to read. Our research shows that countries like Russia, which are reading on TV, that Russia as a nation are a reading nation, not the schools are a reading nation. Ourselves, Morocco, and other people, the research tells us only 5% of us are advanced readers, 85% of us are non-readers, as a nation. It says that right here, less than 5% are non-readers. 5% of them are advanced readers, which means that they go to the research, and shows even from the results that they keep getting to. So this campaign about library services and the RIPI campaign is better placed with DEC, so we will make our submissions, but it should be a national program where we really get South African students. 25% of our schools are not grade schools, and those are some of the worst performing schools, whereas they do have opportunities of being good schools if done well. There are provinces, like this province here, which have a very good program on multi-grading, which we do want to really nationalize. It's also in the Northwest. We've reactivated our rural section to start doing a lot of work around. But in some instances, very little we can do. Those multi-grade schools are, especially in commercial farms, where there are very small families, and there's very little we can do to get those kids out. So the whole idea is to see how even with ICT we can be able to support teachers who are multi-grading. In terms of proving that we support, we can cope with the multi-grading class. And even the work that we're doing is our target in particular to the schools. So some of these schools we can't close, and as well as it is, especially in your commercial farming areas, there is no choice but to keep these in grad schools. Where we can, we're talking to provinces, we're merging or consolidating where it's possible to reduce the number of small schools where it is possible to consolidate and have a proper school. So it's a program of measures, of closure, but also of support where we can do measures. The other programs which we have reported to you, which we speak about around the curriculum, in essence, science, we've done extensive work. We've opened the MEP office. We are having a round table also just to consolidate now with experts, the work that we've done about the Western Science office. Very interesting work has come, and fortunately, lots of support we're also getting around this area. We have NGOs that are working in the Western Science area to really support the work that we do with project extensions. We have made targets, which we will reveal to you, but those targets, as I say, these are both lots of things that that have to be placed because to reach those targets that we have set up. And that's how we really focus a lot and have run out to mobilize with the NGO to support us. But internally, sometimes we have the full capacity to put the necessary conditions to reach those targets. On history, there's lots of work against you that we have to do. Just in addition, because there will be many calls made for us to make history a subject for everybody else. And as a teacher of history myself, I've been arguing by me to say it can't that every child studying history, history is a science, just a full subject itself. And maybe, but what we expect to say, so we can then come back to South Africans to say, dear, we are international friends, you agree that it's important for all our kids to be exposed to history. Yes, indeed, we will make sure that every child has studied history up to grade 80s or so, whatever. So we're even going to have an opinion around this course. But the other one is also the way our books are presenting our history as a country. We don't feel, we feel just to be presented in a way without any fear of prejudice. The way it is for kids growing, understanding and appreciating history as it is. So there's going to be a major program of creating the presentation of history. But the first step is this, I think, call that we should make history a popular subject in our schools. So just let's advise ourselves and the country on this matter. So there is research happening on this. We have reported in the past about the incremental introduction of African languages. We continue to think it's very important to teach every South African, or to enable every South African child to be able to communicate in one dominant language. We think we have social cohesion and we have our kids in terms of really being part of their country. On inclusive education, we'll again report, Chair, that our motto is that kids and really in the child quality because we've not focused on inclusive education. He said, because they come already set to that advantage, they should get the best more than the other kids. So inclusive kids with special needs get special support because they already come to the advantage. So they should get the best of what we can offer to them. So again, there's lots of things that we have to do in order to achieve the target. But I can say, we are very excited to see in the final term, we have been able to, this year we're rolling out sign language, South African sign language for the first time. And we will want again to make, to encourage lots of South Africans to learn sign language because it is great part of our language, don't hear from somebody that somebody who interprets him in the former president's funeral is playing games when we all didn't understand that they were playing games. But none of us understood what they were saying. Only the that deaf community that was able to alert to us to say this person doesn't know what they're saying. So it's to make it as accessible as possible. On reading, we'll also talk to this, we're saying those are just the fundamentals for education. We will speak more. And then lastly, Chair, on social mobilization, partnerships, learner well-being, what our research also tells us, I think, addition to within the next 5 years or 7 years to the office, what needs to be the driving principles for this issues of quality and efficiency. The research of the research tells us that we still have lots of quality challenges which we acknowledge, and that's why we're focusing the way we're focusing. But it also tells us this involvement is not adequate efficiency. And that's why we call also project to help us. There's lots of inefficient challenges that we have, just in terms of spending provinces, and we really think efficient because we have to set up the things. Provinces spend different resources for the same thing. One province will spend $600 on the classroom, the other one spent $800, the other one spent $100,000. We just think there's a problem. There must be some way saying this is what a classroom costs. There'll be other factors. Accounting is very problematic. They can say we need reinforcement. So you have to know why it comes to be $500,000. You could say because it's a very hilly province, therefore there is a need to spend more because the terrain is quite difficult. But currently, you can't explain what will be the difference between the Free State and Northwest. The other one is to give you 500,000 per classroom, the other one is 800,000 per classroom. So we think there's lots of inefficiencies. And that's why in the LCF, and we think there's lots of inefficiencies, just in terms of finances. But more important also in terms of our children. We have too much of an effect. We set the department dangerous in a sense that they discourage learners and kids drop out if they are made to face many tests. So we have a 10% repetition rate, we're saying, in this period, just to make sure that the teacher goes to 5%. But again, our research shows us that where repetition rate spikes, drop out rate also spikes. And it's a very dangerous phenomenon. They spike at grade 9 and 11, and these are 16-year-olds, which I know how sensitive 16-year-olds are. They first fight, they run away from school, they never come back. Because what makes them think they come for the third time, they will pass. And those are the ones that become teenage mothers after they've dropped. They become your delinquents after they've dropped. So we are paying special attention to say we have to support that to succeed. Not pass one time on, but we have to find ways to support them to succeed. That's the one about efficiency. So that we don't spend too many things, we don't make too many things. So those are inefficiency issues. But once, again, I want to say that there are lots of issues around the number of things. We are saying, bullying in our schools, soft issues which also make it difficult for kids to really learn well. So we're strengthening our directorate on social cohesion so that it's not only social cohesion, it's care and support also that we give to our learners. But the second of the other soft issues that we have to deal with as a sector. Let's just say your repetition rate is also part of learner well-being, poverty issues, safety in the school, bullying, and all sorts of things that make kids uncomfortable. Sexual orientation, that you don't educate their kids adequately, find kids with certain sexual orientation, being bullied to an extent and they run away from school. So we are paying special attention to this on just learner well-being as a factor also that does affect their stay in school and their efficiency. So let me not take too much time. And ask the MPS so that our officials can then give you the details of the area of focus, then we'll respond to the question of the effort when the members thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and team members, to be with you again. And I'd like to thank the Minister seriously for making yourself available as a result of the passing on of Mr. Colin Shabani. The Minister has been assigned with Mr. Namala Malewa, Deputy Minister Ayama Blodo, and Minister of Public Works to give dedicated attention and provide support to the family. And I was rather surprised to find him here this morning, Mr. Chair. So this portfolio committee has been so diligent in its work. I can't let them down. And I come especially from the community of the Minister. I'm not afraid either, but I'm saying that's my expectations and my view. I just want to raise a few technical things I'm not going to just to embellish what the Minister said. It's with regard to infrastructure. Now, I think it's important for us to explain. We're soon going to be reaching a milestone, soon, like within the next 2 to 3 weeks, of 100 schools. Now, if you ask how many schools could be open on the basis of cutting the ribbon, it would be about 52. If you ask me how many schools have been occupied, it would be 97, it would be 98 tomorrow. The approach we follow is this, whether it's practical completion, in other words, the moment it is safe for the learner to go down there, if the school is practically completed, then you might have a snag list, for example, a boundary fence or a kitchen side is not completed. We're not going to keep our children back for another 2 or 3 months to say you can't occupy. As long as classrooms are finished, stay in front. So we provide occupation immediately so that there's practical completion and it's safe for the learners to utilize it. So when you look at what we have delivered in terms of cutting the ribbon, it would be 52, but if you look at what we've delivered in terms of occupation and completion, it would be 97. So I thought that distinction must be borne in mind. So if you do come across inconsistencies in how many schools there's the minister and the deputy minister open, it would be certainly less than 97, and what we do and what we believe is that the ribbons can be cut afterwards, the facilities must be provided immediately for the benefit of the children. And it's quite interesting, like in the Western Cape, this would be, in 3 weeks, would be my third school that I would be delivering on behalf of the ministry. And these are incredible schools. And certainly, please, I appeal to the portfolio committee. Join us on any one of the visits. We will provide you with schools. You'll really be excited and pleased to see what we are delivering here. So that's the one element. The second element is with regard to libraries. You know, the minister is very emphatic about this particular element. In fact, she's driven it very, very hard. And I think the reason why Treasury has been allocated for us, DOC, to work with the department was because of this emphasis. Now, the conversation between the Department of Basic Education and DOC is this, that in our deep rural areas, when we provide a library, let us provide a library both for the school and for the community. So what they've done is wherever possible, they would put the library located in the periphery of the school so that it's accessible to the school children, but also would be accessible to the community. And I think it's a wonderful thing because we want to encourage, as the minister says, not only reading in schools, but also within the community. And I think that's an important point to raise around that particular issue. The third element is just to say that when we, and the minister did not mention this, but one of the things that we've established is the National Education Collaboration Trust. It's a very successful program where the Department of Basic Education works with the private sector in terms of delivery. So, for example, there are interventions taking place in 8 of our districts in the country that are poor performing districts, and it's a comprehensive intervention that takes place. But among other things, what it does is it has a dialogue. We've already had 4 dialogues and it's co-chaired by the Deputy Minister of Basic Education and the Vice Chancellor of the University of Johannesburg, Professor Iron Redford. And it's quite amazing how there's become a convergence of thinking with all stakeholders participating in so much discussion. So for example, at the last one we had a discussion on reading, on supporting, and on public or private schools, independent of private schools. Very, very interesting conversation. But what that relates to us is that we listen very attentively is that we appear to be on track in terms of that particular task. I thought I'd just add that and perhaps Chair to say to you that you might find in your report that they are not specific in terms of targets. Very interesting thing, targets, because the targets that the Minister has set up in terms of the delivery is concluded with the president. The targets are medium-term strategic and medium-term strategic planning. They do not change. They are still binding to us, but they've been aligned with the National Development Plan. But what we've discovered as a result of the emphasis on the district is that districts put in their own targets. So a district that is performing at 80% would want to increase its target to 85%, notwithstanding the fact that the national projection might be 70%. So we don't interfere with that to say, we say that would be the minimum norm. Have your own targets. So the Western Cape, for example, you have different targets from Limpopo or the Eastern Cape. And Gauteng and Western Cape would be very similar in terms of its targets, informed by the realities on the ground. But your national basis in terms of targets remains unchanged. In other words, we haven't come down, we haven't reduced the targets. So when you look at your literacy targets for grade 1, grade 3, grade 6, it still remains the same. These are minimum targets that we seek to achieve. When you look at our specialist classes, we will aspire towards those targets. We're not going to alter them. But we are saying that we have to provide some degree of latitude for provinces and districts to be able to manage their own targets informed by the realities on the ground. But then they would use these national targets as a minimum standard or guide in terms of that achievement. I thought it's important for us to mention that. And lastly, to say that we carefully, the partner, and we're really grateful to the Acting Director General and the men and women who basically lead the Department of Education. They are indeed a very important team. But what they've done is they've specifically looked at the NDP and aligned the program of the Department of Basic Education with the NDP, because you want the synergy between these two programs. So if you look at what we're doing in early childhood development, you will see a clear reflection of the strategic plan. And if you read the NDP, you say, wow, it's the same. You know, so we are informed by a convergence of these two documents, and I thought it's important to just share that with you. But lastly, to thank you to the chair and the portfolio committee, I think the people have been astounding. And I'm not saying now this year, but even in the previous conversation, we had a benefit of very active and supportive portfolio committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister. Our presentation will be done by Mr. Mosneka, Stella, and the CFO of the group in 2 parts. The CFO will take care of the numbers.
basically what we have done is it's important for us to highlight the fact that the same function used to decide mainly with the national treasury as the department that was guiding us in terms of framework so that the whole country can follow a particular frame of development of those plans. Now, after the 2009 elections, we continued with a review of those planning frameworks. And the frameworks that were developed then have been handed over to the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation to administer with the department. As a result, they do the framework, they help us, or they take the department through those planning frameworks in terms of how you can do the plan, and they also support. They go around provinces and from department to department to make sure we understand how the frameworks are happening. Those planning frameworks are currently under review, so that they can try and embrace the differences, you know, that exist among departments. You've got departments that are service delivery oriented, you've got departments that run from functions, etc. So those training frameworks are being reviewed because at the present moment we find that some departments are having difficulties in terms of how they develop their plans, specifically with development of indicators and now, in terms of the 5-year friendship plan, we start with a strategic overview, and this is where we start with the basics. What is our mission? What is our vision? What are our values? And for the new term, we have not changed those plans. The legislative mandate remains still guided by the Constitution, and then in the education sector specifically, we start with our National Education Policy Act, which is overarching to everything that we do as a sector. And then we have all other legislations that are related, for instance, the South African Schools Act and the rest of the mandate. They are expressed in the 5-year plan in the form of a case. We needed to emphasize on new policy development, especially that this is a new 5-year plan. We needed to look at our strategic focus areas and look at the development of policies or review of policies that are going to support the implementation of some of our key priorities for the 5-year plan. And we've got a section that is dedicated to that to try and highlight what is important to close, what is important to finalize, or what is critical to develop so that we can support the initiatives that are to be implemented. Every year when we develop these plans, we have to look at the relevant court rulings that affect the section, so that we can take that into consideration because it might affect how some of the our functions are done for the 5 years. This slide is focusing on the mandate. Where did we get our mandate here? So that we were continuing to produce that plan that we are going to be using for the next 5 years. Now, as the minister has already mentioned, we have based our plan on the National Development Plan, Vision 2030, and we are all aware that after the 2009 election, government went into an outcome-based planning or outcome-based mode of operation in terms of monitoring what governments are doing. And this was the beginning of signing of delivery agreements between the minister and the president and the president. So we are continuing as a sector to implement outcome one or to attain improved quality of education. So everything that we say in this plan, it is about improving the quality of education. Now in 2014, as we were preparing for elections, government started developing chapters on the medium-term strategic framework, which has been approved or signed off last year in 2014, I think it was around August. And in those chapters, each sector has got a set of actions, a set of objectives, a set of indicators that each minister has to achieve. And if you look at our 5-year plan, our MTS that targets are captured between page 20, page 15, and page 23. They have all been outlined there. So the deputy minister did mention that some of our targets are not in this plan because that MTSF document carries the major targets that form the delivery agreement for our minister. Already on a quarterly basis, we report on what is called a cabinet memo, and we have to reflect on both the indicators that come from the action plan to 2019 and the indicators that are in the 6th pages in the plan. It was for us to focus to make a dedicated effort as a sector to try and work towards the achievement of those targets. Because as much as they relate to activities that the department has always been doing, like supply of learning and teaching support material or infrastructure, or whether it is ECD, we needed to focus our actions in terms of what can we do so that we are able to reach the target that is interested, because the targets are representative. The sector also came up with non-negotiable. The MTSF does not cover every area. It has got only 6 areas to cover. Or let me say 7, because one of them has got 2 items. Then it is about material and infrastructure allocated in one sub-outcome. But education is broader than those 7 areas. So in addition, the minister came with an non-negotiable so that we pay attention to other areas such as human schooling, such as cancer. We continue to focus on other areas that are not expressed in the MTSF. Library service is found in there so that we can move on as a sector in terms of achieving quality based education. The last bullet there is just emphasizing the South, a methodology that we learned from Malaysia. And in South Africa, as you can see the name now, it has been named a South African. This is a South African version of the Big Fast result. And we call it Operation Pakiza. In the education sector, we are implementing that in our ICT area. And we are moving, we are, all the processes are already in place towards the implementation of our test lab as the education department. Page 3, I have captured the 6 areas of the medium term framework, just to show you what we are referring to. The first one is on improving the quality of teaching and learning through the supply and effective utilization of teachers, including development. So this is where we're talking about teachers, whether it's about recruitment, placement, utilization, and development. The second output, I've already said, it contains 2 areas, science infrastructure and learning and teaching support materials. The third area is on assessment. Because of the annual national assessment that has been introduced in the sector, this is about utilization of the outcomes of those processes to improve on what happens in the classroom. We must use ANAP results to review on what goes wrong in the classroom or what goes wrong in the examination room, but mainly on what happens on a daily basis. Number 4 there is on ECD. ECD is one of the big NDP priorities, but here it has got an element of us introducing a 2-year pre-grade 1 program. It also has an element of, for instance, capacitating our teachers. As a sector, we had already, as we were working on page 14, we were busy with the incorporating grade R in our primary school, and there were quite a set in that area. Now we are moving into the pre-grade R mode, because if we have to run a 2-year program before grade 1 eventually, it means we are now stepping into the zone that we've always left for social development. We have to work hand in hand in that area. The 6th area there is on strengthening accountability and improving management at school, community, and district level. I think the minister emphasized that area, because this is the level of the education system which supports the school where teaching and learning is happening directly. And partnerships in education reform and improve quality to find a way of dealing with those who are not necessarily directly in the sector, taking on their right ideas and their contributions that can be made from the department to improve the quality of education. As you can see, 2019, we still continue with the mandate. We came up with the sector plan, which used to be towards 2025, and the medium term plan for that was actually planned to page 14. That has been reviewed in line with the National Development Plan so that we all mark 2020 as our trajectory. So we have our actual plan to 2019 as our medium term sector plan. And the implementation of this plan is also directly linked to the MTSF, as I have already mentioned before. The 10 non-negotiables that I spoke about doing our work is mainly about strengthening what we have already started. It wasn't just about the complex to break out in number of schools, but also we are now at a level where we are providing work to top rate out. We are providing resource tech so that we can strengthen grade up before we can introduce the second year. Next, science and technology. The minister has already spoken a lot about that, and for this year, we negotiated with National Treasury as we are planning for 2016, and we brought together what used to be two conditional grants into one so that we can strengthen the old Dinalese school conditional grant with the recapitalization of technical school conditional grant to try and comprehensively improve the area of life science and technology. The better that we are offering to graduate for people that can eventually become teachers, we are continuing with that. The key area here is improving or strengthening our statement of these graduates after they complete the program. More focused areas, teacher recruitment, attrition and exit and utilization is one of the key areas where we want to strengthen things, and part of this will be in the ICT lab that is coming, that is going to be implemented, try and find another system that will sort of close the gap that we have found here so that we can manage our data on teachers effectively, so that we are able to take them and we know, we utilize the correct data, how many are about to enter the industry because of old age, etc. So that would improve our training and supporting interest for teachers. One of the critical areas is on appointment of principals, this is related to our MTS sub outcome at the time, where we are strengthening what is happening both at school level and at district level, to make sure that principals as heads of institutions have got the right, we are appointing people with the right to lead those so that they can take care of accountability in terms of curriculum implementation and not just as the manager. They must be managers, they must be leaders, they must be curriculum implementers. And linked to that also is strengthening our capacity of district managers. We are still committed as a sector to participating in international tests. We've been participating in trends in mathematics and science studies, or what is known as TIMSS, Progress in Reading and Literacy Studies, PIRL, and South Africa Consortium for Educational Quality, or what we call SACNET, so that we can gauge our performance and how we do things in South Africa with either other developing countries around us or even across the world. The next few slides that follow are highlighting the targets outside the MTSS target. What other targets can be set that relate to the 5 programs? We have already seen that from program 2 to program 4 to program 5, most of the objectives are already linked to the MTSS sub-program. Now this is in program 1. Program 1 deals with commission, finance, HR, strategy, general institutional research. So if you look at what we are, and these are the components of the department which are also responsible for maintaining or for making sure that we comply, to the basic conditions of what a public sector department should be. And if you look at our strategic indicator there, we want to see our performance on the management performance assessment to improve it as a sector. And in this instance, it is still for the Department of Basic Education. But because we collaborate with provinces, we are, on a sector mode. Now, in terms of NTEC, we want this department to start falling above 85%, or at least this year we must score 85%. In terms of level 3 and 4. Last week, the portfolio committee was based on the progress that we've made on NTEC, and therefore maybe this target will make sense. So things to get people to this. You get it wrong, then you won't get it right in the future. So if you can get ETV right as a specific object, then the rest of the indicators that go to the ETV, whether it's about curriculum there, or it's about LTSM delivery, or it's about current media, or it's about multi-grade education, everything starts with what happens when the child is still very, very young. That's why we have great art as our specific. It comes directly from the CSS. Some of the other indicators that are related to that are in terms of provision of workbooks, we are selecting 97 to 100%. In terms of art practitioners, level 6, at the moment we are still very low, and for the first year, which is 2015, we are targeting 20%. Grade R practitioners at level 4, we've got a lot of progress in that area, but we must also move the entry of level 4 to 6. So we wanted to measure the two sides of the coin, because at least the second indicator, the entry of level 4, gives us an assurance that they've got the basic minimum qualification to teach a grade R people. But the grade 6 one says we are now moving them to a level where they are fully fledged educators in the system, added to the 4 sheet. We continue in terms of the second strategic objective in program 2, but it is increasing our supply of servicing materials to school. And our target is 100% grade up to 9 years. And the indicators that follow there, specifically the first one is on home language workbook, grade 1 to 6, 97 to 100%, and then the second one on the grade 1 to 9, 97 to 100%. The third objective is on completion grade. We've got a lot of kind of media enrollments that we do massive numbers of adults enrolling in this program on a year-to-year basis. We want to see how many of them complete the program. Because it's one thing to say, yes, we've got these many enrolled, but at the end of the program, we've got half of them. And this program doesn't run for too long for us to allow ourselves to meet a number of them. So that's why we are tracking that. But at the same time, we are also tracking percentage of learners who obtain national certificate, because that is the end process of our basic education. In terms of the APP, we've got the number of learners completing current now in terms of numbers, not as a percentage, and then percentage of learners obtaining a national certificate. And then the fourth objective is program 2, improve curriculum implementation in multi-grade schools. For the 5-year target, because on an ongoing basis we implement, we try to train teachers on a year-to-year basis. At the end of the 5-year cycle, we want to see what has been the impact. So that is why it is a strategic indicator formulated in that fashion. But on a year-to-year basis, we will check how many teachers we are continually training to deal with multiple. That's why we've got a target of 500 for the first year. We are now in program 3, improving recruitment and placement of educators in the education system. We've already mentioned that Kunzalo Shaka is one of our priority areas. The target is to have 100% placement within the first 6 months after they graduate. And then in the APP, we've got 4 indicators there. The first one is on Kunzalo Shaka again. Firstly, on how many do we enroll? How many do we award bursaries to enroll in this program? And then the second one, what is the percentage of placement? For this year, even though we are targeting 100% for a 5-year period, at the moment, the target for the current year is 85%. And then the number of qualified teachers under 30, who are under 30, or, 30 and below, we are continually increasing that cohort of people. Partly, the reason why we are offering bursaries to people who are still in school is to make sure we can recruit them while they are still young. They shouldn't come to education when they are only 40-something or 50, and they are just about to retire. So on a yearly basis, we have been tracking how much of the young people out there are we recruiting into the education system. In terms of improving the capacity of teachers to do diagnostic testing and the implementation of a quality management system. We, at a strategic point, and in terms of our MTSF, we are targeting that 70 cents per hour, the average number of hours spent by teachers on teacher or professional development activities is targeted at 70 for the current system. And then in addition to that, in the ACP, we have already started developing diagnostic tests. And those diagnostic tests are going to be utilized to test teachers' competency. So for English first additional language, for this year we are targeting 20,000, and for mathematics, 20, because the indicators for two, so it's for a target for English and a target for math. But both of them are 20,000. Again, we are continuing in terms of improving system support and management of schools. Through our school monitoring survey and through other processes, we're checking what percentage of our schools are having a minimum set of, you know, the necessary documents that enable them to manage their school. And for the 5-year target, we are saying it should be 100%. Because then we are confident that the principal has got all the tools in front of them in terms of what they should do. In the ACP, percentage of school governing bodies that meet minimum criteria in terms of effectiveness, this is going to be done on a sample basis on a yearly basis. Every year, a number of schools will be sampled and the target there is 70%. Number of public schools visited to monitor the implementation of PISA, so the teacher supplement management processes, we are targeting 6,000 for this year. We are now in Program 4. Because our national assessment, we look at our national assessment as tools that we can use to reflect back on curriculum implementation. We are placing what that as our strategic indicator and to oversee over the 5-year period. And we are saying that we will continue to produce our analysis on 3 types of reports and NSC, 4 types of reports. Because these reports are pitched at different levels. There are those that go directly to schools, there are those that go to districts, so that they can help district managers and principals and teachers to actually act on what is expressed in the analysis that is done in these reports. And on an ongoing basis, on a yearly basis, we will continue to produce those reports. The next indicator is on infrastructure. For our basic resources, we have targeted 100% by the end of the 5-year term, with special preference to water, sanitation, and electricity, and inappropriate structures or eradication of inappropriate infrastructure. In the ACT, we have separated that to measure them as separate indicators, sanitation, water, and electricity. And you've got those targets based on the trends that we have for the previous transition. Program 4 continues on information systems. Because the sector has invested in ICT infrastructure in schools, actually buying computers or, and making sure that every school has got a system that we call Balakian school administration, administration management system. Now, the thrust is on ensuring that schools utilize the system to check learner complement. They send their information to the National Department of Education so that we can check what happens to every learner as they go from province to province. So that is the emphasis on the information management and information system. At the moment, the ACT target there is on what is the percentage of public schools that are currently utilizing the FHM to transmit this information to our learnership system. Program 4 on strengthening the capacity of districts. was visited at least twice a year. In terms of indicators there, for the APT, number of officials from districts that do not perform very well in our NSC results are targeted for participating in an entry program. And for this year, we targeted 24. Percentage of principals rating the support of district officers at a special secretary. By monitoring this, we are able to, on an ongoing basis, or as time moves, as the years pass by, that indicator must move from 65 and it must increase on a year-to-year basis. Then we will be satisfied that 1% is in our schools in terms of district support. And then, percentage of district managers accept against a developed criteria. This is also a new indicator, which was not there before. These are indicators that we are putting in place to tighten up on strengthening our accountability. We don't have indicators, then we don't have anything to try and push our district managers or push our principals. We are in program 5, which is the last program, where we promote co-curricular activities, which are cohesion programs, school safety, and our indicator there is in terms of participation in these activities. It's a number of activities. It's not one. The target is very high because it's a combination of either activities that are related to arts and culture, sports, developing activities on citizenship rights, training these, you know, it's a number of music competitions, those kinds of activities is what we're talking about there. So the target for the 5-year term is 20,500. Based on a cumulative basis, what will happen from year to year. By the end of the 5 years, we should have covered 14 learners. Number of educators and learners who also participate on a year to basis, we've got a target of 5,000. The last strategic objective in program 5 is related to addressing some of the societal issues, mental, even health related challenges that affect our schools, and specifically here we've targeted the nutrition program where we are supplying nutritious meals to our learners on an ongoing basis. And second to that, on a e-learning program that we started implementing in 2014. In the APT, we've got the same indicator, which is targeting learners and the schools that are supplying our learners with nutritious meals. In closing this part, for the strategic planning processes, just in brief, there's a set of timelines that we get from the National Treasury and planning monitoring evaluation, and our second and third draft of the plans were submitted duly, so that they can undergo some kind of analysis. And we got feedback from both National Treasury and from DPME to say, please tweak here, we don't see this in your plan, you know, improve here, and then we did not find this, where is it? So that is something that is going to be happening on an ongoing basis. But additional to that, through the activities of internal audit, we also get feedback on our draft plan. And also through the activities of the Auditor General's Office, we get feedback on our second draft, APT and strategic plan, so that we could close what we are now presenting to you, or what has been tabled last time. This brings me to the end of our first part of the two plans done concurrently. Thank you.
The budget of the department that was allocated in the 2014 MTF was 21.890 billion, 23.097 for 2016-17, and then 2017-18, the department was allocated 24.258 billion. But this has been reduced during the MTF, during the ENE process that we have just concluded. And the budget of the department was reduced in the following manner. The school infrastructure backlog grant, the amounts that were reduced due to the request that was done by National Treasury, 120 million was cut from the school infrastructure backlog grant for 2015-16, 176.328 million for 2016-17, and 116.237 for 2017-18. And then the next line for school infrastructure backlog grant is not actually a loss to the department, even though it shows a cut. This cut was reprioritized to Western Cape. The reason this is done is that if a province can indicate that they are able to implement the project, funding can be transferred to a particular province. So the 252.049 is allocated to Western Cape for the ACIDI project. So these are the schools that the Deputy Minister was talking about earlier. And then the 55 million. So this, as Western Cape is building these schools, these are coming into our report because it's part of the ACIDI project. And then for the Karibule project, 20 million has been cut for 2015-16, 30 million for 2016-17, and 150 million for 2017-18. And I believe this is because the program should be winding down because it was allocated for a specific period. And then goods and services, department has been asked to cut 30.62 million, 53.309, and 58.72. Now this is cut from various areas in the department. It is on both various line items of goods and services. And then even for payment of capital assets, now this would be for assets in the department like your printers and so on, 273,479,528 in the 2017-18 financial year. And then in the conditional grants as well, there has been adjustments. But in the 2015-16, the adjustment is upwards 29.481, 2016-17, 288,962 is cut from conditional grants, and then 2017 and 18, 227 million. Now the areas where the money has been cut, technical schools, recapitalization grants, but this one I've just explained, even the generality there. What happens is these two grants have been combined into one grant, which is the math and science technology grant. And it shows that like we are getting money for that grant. It's a combination of the two grants. And then education infrastructure grants, in the first year they will be receiving 48,147, and then in the two outer years they are losing money there. And then for the HIV and AIDS conditional grant as well, the cuts are 5.33 million, 7.5, and 4.9 over the MTF period. Although we are losing that money, we are just getting some of it, but it's a little bit. We have a baseline increase of 25 million in the 15-16 financial year, 35.20 in the 16-17, and the outer year 155.547. Now this money that is being added to the baseline is allocated through the National Education Collaboration Framework, which will get 20 million in the first year, 30 million in the second, and 115 in the third year. And then the method grant, the conditional grant, there's a small portion that is allocated for oversight and support to provinces for this grant. And then in the first year, which is 16, the government will get 5 million for that. 5.220 and then 5.547 in the outer year. Now this slide is just indicating what I've just been explaining as I went along with the other slide, but I would just like to correct the third bullet there. We have 273,000 in 2015-16, 479 in 2016. showing the allocation for the current financial year. That is what we will be getting in the next financial year, which is 15-16. And as you can see there on program 1, it is increasing by 2.9%, but the percentage is small because there have been cuts that have been effected. But because of the amount that is allocated to the office building, it is increasing by 2.9%. And then the curriculum branch, it's decreasing by 3%, and the reduction there is because of what is being cut from the current allocation. And then the teacher education and human resource branch is losing about 7.6%, and this is the cut from the various items as indicated in the previous slide. And then training, information and assessment is getting 16.9%, but this is mainly on the various allocations where cuts were not affected. Example, ANA, there's no cuts there. Although we have EIG and so on, but there are other areas where there were no cuts. So it shows an increase. And then educational enrichment, the increase there is 4.2. Although there was a reduction on the HIV and AIDS conditional grant, but the school nutrition is increasing. It is a normal increase. The CPI, so hence it's showing an increase there. And then this slide is just showing the allocations over the MTF for the various programs in the department. It's just showing the three MTF here, and those are the allocations per branch. And then these are just the explanations that I have just explained, like in program 2, the decrease is in Karabude, and then program 3 is in various programs. This slide is showing the comparison between the allocation for 2014-15 and 15-16 per economic classification. Compensation of employees is increasing by 6.3%. This would be to accommodate the salary increases and other related matters. Goods and services, as I indicated, we are losing money there. So it is decreasing by 3.6%. Now below is just the line items that are showing where the major cuts are for the various items. And then property payments, where it's showing an increase, is the one where it indicated that it's the office building of the department. There is no cut because we have a commitment to pay for the building that we are occupying. So there is an increase on that line item. And then travel and subsistence is also increasing there because of the monetary and support to provinces and all the other necessary travel in the department. There is no cut on that line item. Transfers and subsidies, there is an increase there. This one would include things like conditional grants and other transfers to areas like UNESCO and so on. So there is no cut on that line item. And then payment for capital assets, there is a decrease on the assets in the department as well as the ICD program, as I indicated earlier. And this is just the explanation that I've just mentioned. And then this slide just shows the allocation over the MTEF for the economic classification. And then the earmark fund, these are the allocations, but this is after we have effected the cuts that were indicated in the previous slide. As we can see, Calgary in 2015 had 439 million, but in 2017 and 18 we have 333 million. So this is due to the high, if you can remember that 150 that is cut in the outer year, so it shows why lower. But all the other items are increasing, even though some of them include a very small amount. And then conditional grants. Even with conditional grants, even though they were cut, but as you can see over the MTF, there is an increase on all the grants. Maybe the one that I would like to mention is the occupation specific dispensation for therapists. We have an allocation for only therapists in the education sector. But in the 16-17 and going forward, that allocation will be allocated to provinces. It will no longer come to the department. Hence, there is no allocation for this financial year. And then this was just the explanation of the various grants. And then other transfers, that would be your transfers to UNESCO, IDEA, and Transline, and so on. These are the allocations over the NTF to the various organizations, as well as the transfers to public entities. Now, our transfers to public entities, as we can remember, we have the NSF, transfer to NFAS for the Fuzan Shaka Bazari, and the transfer to Umazisi, which is reflected for the three financial years. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much for the presentation.
That will inform the figure in that specific area. So what would help is that we Now, connected to that, Minister, again, according to the dictates of the NDP, the change in the process of appointment of principals, again, we welcome that one. But would that entail the changing or the amendment of the South African Schools Act? What process will that take? And what are your targets? I think that's a very important development, Minister, if that happens. How many questions are there?
Four.
Okay, that's one question. I'm left with three.
So the first one
was six. One person is short. And the other one, Honourable Minister, is that you have got the non-negotiables. If one can get an idea which non-negotiables are those in the department. And the cut in the infrastructure and shifting that money from provinces that have failed to use those funds to provinces that are able to do that, the Western Cape. Now, I find it a bit disturbing because the minister doesn't seem, the different minister doesn't seem to get what I'm saying. Perhaps I didn't understand correctly, but somewhere it was mentioned that the fund for infrastructure was shifted to the Western Cape. Is that correct? Yes. But my concern is historically, if you look at the capacity of the different provinces, because of where we come from, the capacity will differ. Instead of capacitating those provinces that cannot spend their money, you punish them, and give it to other provinces. That's a fair practice in doing that. And lastly, you said the R phase where you intend improving the qualifications of those teachers first to grade what four level. And then to six. How long would that also involve their pay? Because according to the statistics, different provinces pay different salaries to the teacher. Some provinces are paid as low as 2,000 per month. But that's the minimum. But now, what will this entail as far as the salaries are concerned? Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honourable Minister.
Thank you so much, Honourable
Minister.
Okay, I'll start my fall will be based on 3 points and 4 points. Number one, just to support the question asked by the chairperson on targets, that some are quantified, some are imperfected. It is difficult to understand if it's, let's say, in grade R, are targeting the N2S practitioners to reach 30%. Number two, it is the minister has touched on really a crucial point, and that is one of my questions, because I have suggested to you from the government or the department and even the stakeholders appropriate such huge money on the donating or supplying schools with equipment, resources, computers, laptops. But at the end, you find that educators themselves, they are unable to support the learners as it is said in MTF and white paper 7. That this is to enable educators to support the learners. Now my question is that what is the target in this strategy? How many educators are we targeting to empower or to develop in order to be able to the resources that the department is giving? Number three, check it, it's not fixing for us. My point is on current numbers. I understand the budget has been cut in current. But my love is very formal. This monitoring and evaluation, especially on this output we have said, it is also to empower youth economically. Now for me, it's again very formal. The monitoring, it hasn't come so clear. How are we going to support this youth in order to be able to give quality education as it is set in this output one under program two, that is insisted for quality education? The last one, check that in the inclusive education. Inclusive education under the budget, I don't know where it is allocated. Because I would like to know what are the plans of education, of Department of Education, on establishing institutions in districts that do not have such institutions, whereby learners are just being popped in mainstream or mainstream schools without teachers being empowered to be able to deal with these learners, and also learners that are uneducated. Learners that are uneducated in the mainstream are being taught in these mainstream schools, and teachers are not. I don't see the inclusive education or on a TV program or so on, where I did cater to build such institutions in areas where there are no such institutions. Thank you.
My first question would be on the issue of libraries. While to welcome the initiative that we are targeting 1,000 libraries to promote halls, school halls, that in some areas they could not be distributed fairly equally, that you see one packet receiving more than six halls and one in another packet is actually nothing. So I propose in the issue of libraries, we target the villages instead of targeting the schools. Though it can be situated in a school set up, but if the villages are the main focus, so that each and every village can be able to benefit. That's my take on that one. The second question, the Chairperson, is on the concern of the 10% repeaters that the system is experiencing. I'm saying we're looking at assisting this learner so that it can be able to benefit out of the system. But in the same breath, is there any mechanism that we can be able to look at how the system can be able to benefit in the equal breath the most gifted learners who are kept in one class, whereas they are exceptionally gifted and they cannot be, even if they can progress to the next class, they can even do more than those that they are getting into that class. The third question, Chair, with our secondary schools, we still have educators who are not trained, who have specialized in primary teaching, they have got their abilities and they like it, and they are teaching at the secondary school level. Is there any mechanism of addressing that issue that they are placed in the correct schools where they belong, and we look for people who have specialized in the secondary teaching so that they can be able to assist the system? The last question, Chair, whilst we appreciate that principals will be, the newly appointed principals will be assessed the competence assessment before the principal can be appointed, is there any idea as to how to address the question of principals who are already in the system and they are not performing, that perhaps the assessment tool can be used in those so that they can be able to give people who can be able to perform if that can be possible? Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity, and with my party colleagues also our condolences to the ruling party on the loss of Mr. Chabon, who comes from my province. And may I also take the opportunity, and that's not part of my question, okay? It's to congratulate the department on the National Teaching Award ceremony. I thought it was outstanding. Now, I was just going to comment on something. Libraries, science labs, and workshops. If we look at math and science, at the end of the day, you can't do proper science teaching if you don't have labs that are ready to it. that is how it is. But we still find a lot of schools without that. I just visited a school last week in the Soweto area, Altmont Technical School. No workshop and not a drop or an inch of equipment, but it's a technical school. There's a lot wrong at that school, by the way, but that's for another time. Infrastructure. I had the privilege of starting a tour of a city school, and I did the first three, which is in Limpopo, my own province. And I must say, I'm very impressed with the building. I'm very impressed with what it offers. The nutrition center,
the library space, computer rooms, everything is there. I do, however, speaking to communities around those three schools, have some questions, and that is, will it be equipped? Will there be enough teachers so that we can utilize the facilities we're building? Will the library, the laboratories, the computer room, and the nutrition centers, will it be utilized? I want to raise one particular school. And I must first tell the department minister, it took me about 600 kilometers from 7:30 in the morning till 8:20 that night to find the school, because the geo-coordinates on the computer, on the department's web pages and that of the schools differ, and I think seriously they must be an upset. So that's not going to stop me from visiting every single ICE school on that list. The what I found is that our local primary school in Makleto is advancing. It's only got just 110, maybe 120 learners. It is high up in the mountain. You cannot get there. You travel 45 minutes. My question is coming to you. On 7 kilometers. Now, I understand that the minister said we want to build schools in rural areas, but they're going to depopulate eventually. So what are we doing with a very expensive school in this area? Just down the hill, about 7 kilometers, there is a multi-grade school, I believe, called Kuti Mokuru Lori, if I pronounce it correctly. There's another small school with about 25, 26 learners. There's no space for the teachers to actually live. They've got to get accommodation. So my question is this. It's a beautiful school. It must be equipped. It must be utilized to the fullest. Otherwise, we've wasted our money. And what are we going to do when that small community up there goes? What's going to happen to that school? I'm sure there are other examples as well. It might not be specific on today. My questions on I see. And then I'm very concerned. I said it before, Father Jordan, when I served on Arts and Culture many moons ago, that we must create a culture of learning. But we need to make reading corner bookshelves to schools with books. You go back in 2 months, and books are no more. And my question on infrastructure, lastly, is the tour I did through Soweto last week, everybody's pulling up shoulders on the condition of toilets and the ablution facilities. And it is going to take a couple of million. The question is, what systems do schools have in place? Are there still prefects or SGBs or teachers doing ground duty or whatever? It was appalling. It was appalling. I've never felt so sick in my life. That's what I've seen last week. So it doesn't help me have this beautiful school if nobody's going to maintain it. And I repeat my plea of last year, we've got to have a handyman or a factotum or a structure at any school to look after maintenance. Thank you, Chair.
I'm
going to
comment about because another
ADU
are building
Well,
strengthening our
branch of social policing to be able to do more with within the branch, and that is headed by Dr. Wiggle.
Can I then just ask what is in place with regard to addressing soft issues? And then, like my colleague, I've also been on the other side with regard to the kitchen rooms, stuff like that. And many of the schools that I've visited in Mpumalanga are feeding the children, but they do not have kitchens. It is a shocking state. They are using open fires in enclosures, which is very, very dangerous. We cannot allow that. They do not have refrigerators in areas like Nkomazi, where you have degrees of 40, 45. That is shocking. We have to look at that. And then with regard to it's good and well we have these beautiful toilets, but I would like to see an interaction between the department and COPSA, because the municipalities are not providing water. So those cheap toilets actually mean nothing for our learners. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Can we get the responses for this question that we will take another one, because they will be coming too long. My choice is just one of the issue of teaching can also include the central to find out if the person can get it.
Like any colleagues who update you how far we are, because indeed we have to do something quite it does speak about it. On non-negotiable, I think we're just saying these are the things non-negotiable is telling us to say, because we met at MEC in the beginning of the new term to say, let's agree to say, amongst all the other things that we do as a sector, what are the ones that we cooperate and make sure that the things that we deliver? Well, sometimes what creates difficulties is that everybody has their own plan. As a result, we don't have a national plan that we can put together and say as the sector, these are the minimum things that we have a common plan around. And hence, your LTSM to say, let's not have, because what we have done other provinces, they spend the money the way they want. Others about 50% coverage, the other 60%, 80%. And we said to them, let's cooperate and find a common web, common selection of books, and have the team to have this national system from all provinces, so that, again, we can have common criteria, and then say to them, here's the bulk between all nine of us is 9 billion. If we are to spend 9 billion widely, what is that we do as a sector? And those are some of the things that we've agreed. Even in districts, it's already every province sets up the way they run their offices. Other provinces are thinking, there's 24 districts, it's too much. You go to Kumpumalang, they only have 4 districts. So, to say to them, what should, because again, the provincial provinces, what are the minimum structures, just in terms of hybrid, of a functioning district? So that you don't have this hybrid and find that in some other areas, without complete dysfunctionality, those systems can't support, can't monitor. Either they're too few or they're too many. And even the way they're demarcated does not help. So those are some of the things we've got to do. So that fortunately pointed out. So this non-negotiable, certain non-negotiable things of say, here we fight over them. We said, these are the 10 areas that we want to cooperate on as a sector. Make sure that there are national plans. And we can put together and already use some of the things that are and some of most of them, I mean, like the social mobilization, there is a structure to say we have to work with communities, with expertise in the country to make sure that they support the sector. And that's why we have the NCT and really are finding framework through which we can cooperate with partners. Even the round table that we're having sending, it's part of really getting the expertise, expert on math to say let them come. That everybody has something to contribute. There's not much good work that's happening outside the sector, which we have not been able to harness because we've not had the conscious and deliberate efforts to put together people that are working with us. So that those would have been the then negotiations. I think what we also talk about this. On target, you quite right, but some also asked, so why are we using certain things here? Why are we using numbers? In some instances, the targets are just not consistent for instance. So it would be dishonest to say, in fact, let's say by 2015, we want 300,000 kids having passed. Because the figures in terms of registration are going to change. So you can't put the figure. So rather put the percentage to say, of whatever number you have, of learners who are doing grade 12, 50% of them have passed because the figure it's not a consistent figure. It depends on maybe registration, how many kids you have. So you will then use a percentage because you can't honestly predict what numbers are going to be there. In some instances, the numbers are fixed. We know we have 24,000 schools. We can say of the 4,000 schools we want. In terms of our budget, 1,000 of them to get. So it is the number, so you can have the number as a figure and not work on a percentage. If you have fixed numbers, for instance, you should say, of the schools that we have, 1,000 of them to get library. A fixed number, you can't really say you need to have 1,000. You don't need to work on a percentage, necessarily. But you find that it's much more easier to work on a percentage, but percentage causes you to go back to say, if it's 10%, 10% of what? So, and that's what sometimes does. Make us to change the usage of certain things on the figures. I'll ask them when I'm getting to deal with the DM working on ICT, so we will answer the question on ICT. On Karikou, budget is cut, the budget also determines the cuts are important by the fact that the program has to come to an end in 2 years' time, because then the numbers are going down in terms of the learners that are there, and therefore the budget has to match with the numbers, the reduced numbers that are there, that are coming to the system. Because it's not a constant figure in any respect. But more than anything, quite right, because we are morphing up on curriculum to make sure that we don't need people don't need the opportunity if we really finalize the program. We have appointed about 9 coordinators from which are to strengthen the monitoring and the recruitment. So indeed we can be able to identify more people that are supposed to come into the sector. On inclusive education, I wish really, because that's the issue of what I see, because I've quickly went also to the Limpopo, because some of the schools would not have been built by us. I was looking at Limpopo, we only have 3 schools that are looking for assistance. Then the rest of the schools will probably be provincial schools. Schools that we build as a CV are 10 key programs. So we resource the ICT as part of the plan, and I would be quite surprised if Limpopo was done differently. The schools are listed in the institute that I want to open. The condition that the library must be finished. So when we leave, it's a 10 key. So I want to check all the schools in Limpopo, why there was no 10 key.
It's not landed over yet. It's May.
Okay, then by the time we leave, they will have ICTs, they will have a kitchen, they will have a proper resource center, and that's the condition to stay. And in the meantime, teachers get trained on your ICTs to make sure that they don't, and we monitor them. If teachers really are using ICTs. By the time we send those computers to schools, then there's a company that just helps us to train teachers to prepare them for the arrival of your equipment. So by the time they arrive, teachers will have already been trained in the usage, and even learners sometimes who learn sometimes much more faster than the teachers. I went to one school and then I was really explained to the teacher to say, no, no, no. I think I'm missing the point. So you find the fact that sometimes these kids really overtake us, so they become the instructors. So, but there is always a problem around ICT. So, that's the condition of ICT. In terms of inclusive, unfortunately, we only have the budget for your water, sanitation, and unsuitable structures. And the special schools are not part of it. It's supposed to be part of the provincial budget. So that's the one to do, really, as part of their normal school, we have to do planning for their special school, their renovation, everything else. But then the school that we had elected us to in the student, was the provincial project. We just really had to come in when it was special attention by itself. But it's definitely a part of what we do. All we do is to monitor and highlight the provinces. That, because it's only South and Western Cape that have enough special schools. As a result, they have a problem with all provinces then have to start planning. They are keeping those 2 provinces and has a huge backlog, even for the provinces which have an infrastructure. And unfortunately, they are maintaining that infrastructure from the budget, which are for learners, who are not calculated as part of their learners. But this is a problem that other inclusive schools are trying to look at, to say provinces themselves have to make sure that they build and maintain your special schools. But this is an area of a problematic area. We even are lagging behind in terms of your white paper on inclusive education. And again, we're dependent on provinces doing a take up, and they are the ones to control the general school budget. But all we do is to monitor and then highlight the problem and not doing much. The same with libraries, our intention of course is to, and the overall objective that a library plan is to make sure that every child, children, all kids have access to reading materials. So the plan is informed even not by just stopping until such time that every child is ready. But because we don't have the financial capacity ourselves to roll out the way we're supposed to roll out, that's why we're cooperating with contracts. So that in areas where the municipal library is to get schools and municipalities to strengthen the relationship. There are very good programs, for instance, in Kenya, where teachers themselves, with municipalities, the library, they collect books for their kids, they control the books on behalf of the library in the school, so that we also help the libraries manage the big numbers of the library, but also encouraging children themselves to be members of the library. So, you know, urban areas where there is access to libraries, to strengthen those libraries and the relationship with schools. But our preference from the practical experience to have the school library, either your book corner, your pocket, because it's much more easier to have it in the school than if, because you can't motivate support people. So the plan, as I say, is going to, it's not like the school halls, which I know in Mpumalanga were incentive for students are performing well. You know, and I know that the MSC students, your school is performing about 80%. As part of incentive, you know, rewarded in the hall. So if you have a district which is doing well, then the school halls will go to the district as compared to a district which was underperforming, then you should enhance. But for instance, we have had at that time your bush park, which really at some stage had lots of difficulties. You should not even see a wall because the entire district is underperforming. We have that district, the one that the top one, the implementation, which has the next grade, is only the top district. So that the volume going there, numbers, because that's where the performance. But our target, our objective is different. It's to make sure that every child has access to a book, so that if there's a mobile library, you cut it off because there's access to books. If there's a municipality library, and that's how we map up with DEC. If there's a community library, so we have those requirements to make sure that the library can support the school. And then only looking areas where there is just no library. And the idea is that they to start to school library. And in particular, because it's also driven by what informs the 100 to start with these things which have already the infrastructure. Where it's going to be cheaper to run out. There's lots of them which have classrooms and libraries which are not working properly. To clear those, at least now the infrastructure only needs to be supported like rather than books and then get the system going. And that's my. So it's all those things that are looking at, but the whole idea is to get everybody to have access to the library. I think we want to speak more about higher repetition rates and yourself about differential teaching. The point we're making so that it's not one size fits all. The first learners are delayed by the fact that the teacher has to focus on the other. So some. The fast learners are marginalized, the slow learners are equally marginalized, only just the middle performance. So we really are quite conscious of that problem. We are not enriching adequately, because according to a report check, even our most brilliant people in the country are not able to compete with most brilliant international. Right? So we find that even our brightest, because there's just no enrichment, we're not even promoting them to different classes. They just don't make the grade international. And we think it's because of undifferentiated teaching. One size fits all, the teacher teaches all of them at the pace of the average one. The one who can perform well for the wayside, the one who performs well has to wait for the others. And it's just not very healthy. We have to really get the brilliant one to move more time. So we just explain what we're trying to do with the positive issue. NCSA, at the different time. So we received the report, we got lots of experts. because we have applications to do for the number in terms of the documents on the calendar. So we have the blend, which is long term, but we're saying our kids can't wait for the blend, can't wait for individual strategy. In the meantime, to use science kids once the term is running out. So that even if there is no left in the school, it's going to come according to the plan. In some instances, the plan says, who will get some of this facility by 2030? So we're not going to wait for 2030. Say they must be able to conduct those experiments. So some provinces are using mobile labs, which are not very efficient. So we're encouraging schools to have your science kits, which are very efficient. So that there is normally, there are kits which have been made, good kits made by companies, say, science grade 7, these are all the experiments that they're supposed to do in grade 8. So as an interim is to use this, but there is a plan, long-term plan, which is unfortunate, long-term plan to have all the labs and all sorts of things. Teachers also, I think quality is also pretty. The budget that we have, ready for calculated the learner pay, say so 1 month for the learner for the school nutrition. We don't necessarily have, and quite right, have the budget for the school teachers. But we try through creative wage savings to assist schools, especially with your cooking utensils, by the pot and other things. Where we've been successful, spread around fundraising and assisting schools on our own outside the budget to get food. And the schools themselves and communities, and in some instances, I mean, I would take the school visit in Kumana. Parents themselves were building kitchens for school nutrition because the budget is really for feeding strictly. It's not for infrastructure for feeding, which is a problem. I want to adjust to what cooking the same classroom as your kitchen. Really dangerous situation because these kids are young. They could just change each other and they won't be put on it. A very dangerous situation. So that's why we should encourage to go and cook outside the classroom so that if there's any something could be current in that enclosure, you are there or allowed to get closer. But they are right, the hygienic effect has, so it is a big area. Last year, only for instance,
the worms, not the children themselves.
the program something to continue. So those are some of the top programs. And again, because it's new programs that come from the work we've done, we've not done the necessary bid to Treasury for the whole package of what we need to do for Alena Wellbeing, a full UME program, a full testing program for all people that when people that I see. But the work of projects, when they come to grade R, they must be tested, and then doctors advise us to say that we can deteriorate, we only then can test them again in grade A. So what are the norms in terms of what needs to be done? But the whole thing then to be able to say, Dr. Wittu will speak about some of it is dependent on our partners. For instance, you and me, by law, we're not allowed to do this because we're on our own. We have to do it under the supervision of health. And therefore, we depend on them putting their ducks in a row to assist us to do it because we're not allowed by law. I'm told by colleagues to do some of the programs because teachers are not allowed to do well. It can only be done under the supervision of the health department. So there's some other things that we depend on other departments in the country. But what we're currently doing, we can come out as a big issue, develop programs area by area, bullying, and say in bullying, what are the things we're thinking of, who gets bullied, who gets bullied, and how to deal with them, and how to teach us to identify them. Violence in school, gangster in school, how do we deal with some of the things that we don't know ourselves, and that's why we're to bring outside expertise to say, this is how you deal with the following areas. But I'm taking the easier one.
Just with regard to ITC, the issue basically is to what extent have our educators been trained. What we can share with you is that more than 220,000 teachers have been trained. But there are three levels. There are three levels of competency. One is just the general proficiency using ITC. So in other words, how do you basically get into the system, how do you get mail and so forth. This is generic by nature. So the second is really how to integrate your knowledge of ICT into the curriculum as an educator. And the third is the more innovative one, how do you utilize those skills to develop lessons in a way that's creative and innovative. So there are three levels of it, and certainly the differentiation that occurs in this regard. But in terms of generic use, I could say we're doing extremely well. In terms of the second level and the third level, I would say it's uneven, and some provinces are doing better than other provinces. Western Cape, Gauteng is certainly doing much better than, say, Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga, all of the purple for that matter. So that would be the reality, and I do hope that you, but I thought in the context of ICT, what is important is less about the device. It's more about the connectivity and the efficient and cost-effective way of connectivity. In other words, our vision, Melissa and I, is that every school must be connected, and that we should ideally have zero cost in relation to that. But what the department has done is really with the architecture of a cloud, an education cloud, and all your multimedia voice over through that cloud there would be free of charge. So we've got, for example, through UNICEF and Kufunda program. Quite a powerful program there because you can reach that site there through about 800 devices. The smartest mobile phone to just the ordinary phone. And you can access all your past papers, the website of the department, your curriculum content, everything. We digitize everything in terms of our curriculum content. So the cloud will contribute to it, and the service providers that we've spoken to are saying that they will be able to host with your piggy bank on the system. And when a learner or even the parent of the learner access that there and download data and free of charge, that is a wonderful gift to the nation. And I think that is quite imminent and it's quite extraordinary in terms of ICT because that is the future and the end of the 21st century. With regard to the assessment of newly appointed principals, and the minister has touched on it, and I think you're quite right. We have a draft, though I told the portfolio committee about the draft legislation we prepared, and draft legislation that is particular reference to principals. Now, you know, these are things that evolve. At one stage, if you look at CESA, it had about one line about a principal. We've expanded that, we've included fiscal responsibility, professional functions of a principal, etc. certainly we've got to include this element, and the good part of it is that all political parties are in support of reform of education. The question then arises, and that's the question, is what about, and I think the concerns are efficient, is well, good enough for the newly appointed MK as principals, what about the old? And you have to basically say you can't now demand a qualification from them because they've already been there, some of them have been there for 10, 15 years. But what you can do is you need to assess them. And what the quality management system does, and that's at the ERC, it allows for that assessment to take place. And the assessment is not on the basis of being punitive, but on the basis as a developmental assessment. So you then find out what the deficits are, provide support, and where principals cannot basically, it's not competent enough, then we go to the principal principles and that's it. So there would be a mechanism that we would put in place to deal with that concern of yours in relation to those who are already there. It's developmental instruments insofar as that is concerned. I just want to say about the, you know, and I'm glad it's been raised by the sponsor, the issue about the nutrition. You know, we tend to forget where we were and how we evolved. Take the Eastern Cape 3.5 to 4 years ago when the intervention took place. They suspended the nutrition program completely. By and large, Eastern Cape survived in terms of nutrition provision through candidates. We, the administrators, have grown up decentralized. Almost every school now has got the appliances that are available. At that time, the training for those that prepare the food for, you know, health, hygienic methods of preparing food and food content, the nutrition content, was less than 40%. But now 100%. Women are being empowered. It's decentralized. Schools have taken responsibility of it. And slowly but surely, they are providing dedicated facilities, as suggested by yourself, to say you have a dedicated kitchen. Every city school, new city school, has a preparation area, has utensils. In other words, you are now ready to basically deliver in a healthy environment. So that's a progressive step that is taking place. And if you look at the Eastern Cape, you look at Free State, you look at the Northwest in particular, where these empowerment programs are taking place in a way to be decentralized and almost owned by the community, you find them to be much more successful than in other provinces. So I thought I'd just mention that as an element. So when we look at nutrition, we look at it with health preparation, with nutrition content, with community participation, provision of utensils, as well as wherever possible and progressively we dedicated the resources that have to be provided there. I think the Minister has said this really covered most of the other elements. I don't know if the department might want to add to it, but like she said, I think we need to.
Thank you, Mr. Minister. I'll take one and then I think it's done well, Mr. Kojan and Dr. Wittler will come. I want to just address the issue of the CD with regard to cuts and to explain that the CD basically, it isn't that we've taken money from any province to give to another province, and it's not because I'm willing to lose it. cut in the TD is there's been a cut in that the TD itself was set up for inappropriate structures and basic services with the intention that in 2017 or 2018 it would end. There have been cuts in which those funds have then been directed to the education infrastructure grant, which in terms of the formula that's determined, those funds then were provided to different provinces in that regard. So that was the second cut. We likely to have to go back to Treasury in terms of the progress we made, that what has already been allocated in the budget may be insufficient for us in 2014-15 based on the progress we're making in the building program of the team. Mr. Mwere?
Oh, thank you, DP, Minister, Deputy Minister, Chair, Honourable Members. Quickly, in respect of the retention of books, in other words, the retrieval of books, it's a matter that we are addressing through ESCOM and see virtually every time when we present the report on the ESCOM. And I can indicate that there has been an improvement from the situation which used to obtain. We have increased retention, but we've not been able to bring it to 100%. That I can confirm. The issue of multi-grade schools and the migration of the population and so on, it's a fact. But it's becoming even more complicated as life itself becomes complicated. We thought that when people move to urban areas, that will be the end of it. My experience tells me that when opportunities for jobs dry up, people go back to rural areas. I have seen that, and it says that our experts who deal with population dynamics will have to look at this matter much more carefully. Because we thought that when people move out of rural areas, it's unlikely that they will come back. But the reality shows that when means of affording them economic activity dry up, they go back to where they come from, which complicates life. And I'm just thinking that is another fact that we need to look at much more carefully. DG, I also thought that there was an issue raised about the cleanliness. I don't know whether it's been attended to. And my sense is that in instances where money is transferred to schools on time, the right appropriation that schools should be getting, schools use this money to keep their surroundings clean. And if they are monitored like it used to happen in the sector, they are encouraged to use that nonsense standard for school funding. That's the money that I'm referring to. If correctly used, it could also be used to keep the surrounding schools as many provinces and schools would do. Then, DG, there's an issue of the 30% or 20% or 25%. A report that you presented to the portfolio committee, if my memory serves me well, last year, we gave those figures to province on ECD practitioners. And they were purely based on what provinces said to us in terms of their allocation. These are the figures that they'll be able to train over a period of 3 to 5 years. So these percentages are informed by that. And I'm sure the appropriate time would come again and just update that data. So as the Minister correctly pointed out, it's either informed by capacity or available resources or progression that you are making in training these teachers first from nothing to NQF level 4, and we are now saying it's mandatory. The policy is very clear. Grade R upwards minimum is NQF level 6. And we have trained quite a lot up to NQF level 4. And those figures also we provided in the report that I referred to. And we could bring it back again. And then the minister requested me to say something about 10% sense that the teaching and the gifted learners and so on. I think the minister addressed the issue of gifted learners quite adequately. The problem is lack of differentiation in the classroom. Every teacher who's been properly trained would know that when you are trained as a teacher, one of the important skills that you should have is curriculum differentiation, because your learners are at different levels of progression. They could be at different levels of even receiving education and so on, and therefore you are trained to differentiate in your teaching so that you reach out to all learners. Our observation is that that is not happening anymore in most schools. Teachers don't differentiate as they teach. They teach for a homogeneous group, and that you don't find in any classroom, because learners are at different levels of progression. They are even at different levels the performance and so on. So we've now put together a program on curriculum differentiation, reminding teachers that every teacher must differentiate. You must be able to provide something for your highly gifted learners, and those who are average, and those who are below average. And that's how we're trained as teachers. And then absolutely. And that takes into account also issues of assessment and so on. They are also differentiated. Thank you, Mr. Minister. Then the last question I need to make is around streams. We departed from the two-stream model. We are now advancing to the three-stream model, which is your academic pathway. And our country and our sector offers mainly academic pathways. 70 to 80% of our learners are provided for in the academic pathway, and then the rest is currently provided in your vocational pathway, which is your technical subject. And the technical subjects also are nearly inclined to prepare learners for post-schooling, advancing their studies like universities and so on. They don't generally prepare our learners to be able to get into the job market and participate in economic activity. The minister appointed a ministerial task team about a year or two ago, and the ministerial task team came up with recommendations to say we need to strengthen our vocational stream. From the four subjects that are offered, we will now be offering 12. Before 2008, we were offering 16, and the number of learners we had was probably 60% more than the number of learners that we have now. Ever since we introduced the four subjects, the number reduced by close to 70%, which means it's an elitist curriculum. It doesn't make provision for your average learner and below average learner. It's only those top learners that are able to cope with the curriculum. That's why many of them don't even offer your vocational curriculum. And we now want to change it so that only 30% of our learners go the academic stream, or at most 40%, which is what is happening worldwide, and the rest are taken up in your vocational stream. And what we are bringing as the third stream is what we call occupational stream. For learners who are not able to cope with either your academic and vocational, and will be able to do subjects and eventually courses that will give you something like, hairdressing, your bricklaying, which is not very high level, welding, which is what Germany is doing. Germany has got three streams. And Germany and other countries that are implementing a three-stream model seem to be making it. We have already started developing learning programs based on the national curriculum statement. It's not a new curriculum. The same curriculum. We extrapolate the learning programs from them, and then you make them appropriate to the cognitive abilities of these learners, and then you develop a sub-qualification to the national senior certificate from NQF level 1 up to NQF level 4. The ministerial task team finished NQF level 1, we are now getting into NQF level 2 up to 4. That's the way that we are doing. It will help to reduce your repetition rate, it will help to reduce your failure rate, it will consequently help to reduce your dropout rate. Thank you, PG.
Could I just add something that might be relevant? It's to say that the technical mathematics and the technical science techniques have already been developed, they have been designed, they've been prepared. So if that would be said from next year, all technical schools would be able to do a technical mathematics and technical science. I think it would be wonderful to give the member of the portfolio for the site of content of those books. They're really exciting. And beyond that, we've had some sponsors who are going to provide free of charge for these books to be distributed to all our technical schools. So the funding for that is already available. And I think we're very fortunate to start in terms of what we should do. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I know there are other questions that you need to raise to the chance to a follow up on, but can I allow the remaining honorable members to pose their questions so that we can take the bunch of questions together? Honorable questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. Even though they've spoken of some of what I wanted to talk, but I'm talking the other way around. They never responded as I'm expecting. This issue of infrastructure. We are all really happy. We can see those of us who have had it that we were performing. But what I wanted to raise is the issue of maintenance. That for now we don't see or have a plan of how, who is going to deal with that in maintaining the infrastructure that we're having. We don't have the what they call a factor time. I'm proposing that I know it's difficult to can say each school should be having a factor time, but if we can say per second we have those that are going to deal, I'm referring here to those that are going to deal with your broken doors, broken windows, desks and such things. It's not easy to can get all schools to have all those, but if you can place them in a second so that they deal with those things. On infrastructure, well, my other challenge is you see that target, that 100% there, on water provision, to me it becomes a challenge because I understand it's not your competency to implement, and what I'm observing, the relevant department that is responsible for that, you see, is also chasing its own tail on that. That's 5 years, 100%. I don't know. I just want to check with the department. Are we maybe in a way trying to say we can try to have our own mini budget to deal with your board? Because with the bulk, we in 5 years, I don't see us winning. But if we can deal with boards or assist, ask request from implementing agencies that they assist us in drilling boreholes to those schools that are without water. On libraries, the minister has indicated that we need to be having partnerships, but we do have in a municipality that those libraries, they build libraries. The challenge is books. They don't have books, and the learners, our learners there, are using such libraries. But challenge, the books that are in such libraries are, you see, they don't equal the needs of the kids there. Then one other thing is on learner wellness. I think it's number 10 on the non-negotiable. I think this marked is as non-negotiable. The first aid key. There are schools that are without such things. I think we need to look at that. That it be there. Schools behaving first aid key. Lastly, on ICT, I just want to check if we are being proactive by training the teacher so that they become relevant if we are to implement. Because I'm expecting that in quite a number, we need a situation where in we are going to implement this holistic and the whole country. But are we now? Have we started to train those that are going to implement? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I'm sorry to be rude, but I don't know who the lady was. No, it might sound rude, but I'm not intending it to be rude in any way. I don't know who the lady is that presented to her. I haven't seen her face before. Find out who.
Chair,
Chair, I want to refer to slide 8, which is the non, oh, it's on the screen, the non-negotiable. I'd like to go away from here understanding it. The way that I did understand it was that decisions had been made. So what the minister has said was that the decision now, in this recent round of answering questions, what the minister has said is far more hopeful, and that is that decisions have been made to cooperate around these areas.
To
develop national plans. Okay. So, I mean, the first one is worrying for you, is that has a decision been made that there is one text per grade per subject? That's a national conversation that should be had. The one that concerns me primarily is curriculum, or well, issue curriculum, where there are aspects of the curriculum that are not included there. Like the streams, for instance, the streams are not included there, and the streams are, I would think, non-negotiable, because we need to equip our children for life, for the labour market, etc. So it's not included there. Are those just examples? Are those, how can I understand the this list of non-negotiables? How set in stone is it? Is it just to give us some idea of what you're talking about? Can you just explain that more, please? Chair, the minister spoke about, and I it glad in my heart greatly, about targeted training. Where we would specifically know for an individual teacher that, and the minister mentioned listening skills as an example, where you have a real problem with listening skills, I want you to go on whatever course which is going to highlight the deficiencies and assist you to improve. But I didn't catch from the minister how we are going to get to that quest. Is it through the self-assessment, or is it through the IQMS, or what is it? Because I don't see that we have anything in place at the moment that allows that targeted training, and so I'd like to know what that is. Chair, the detailed targets, there were many things that were being spoken about here. Well, let me tell you why I'm asking this question. There are a number of slides that indicate, and certainly in the APP as well, indicate a strategic objective, and then you've got performance indicators, etc. The performance indicator doesn't necessarily talk to the outcome. So, for instance, there is I can't recall how much it is, it doesn't matter, learner retention. You're talking about, it's slide 60. Talking about learner retention, so the minister quite rightly said that it has to be a focus area, that we have a repetition rate of 10%, which is too high. We must try and reduce that to 5%. But now, if we go to slide 16, the strategic objective is to increase learner completion rates. There are two strategic indicators. One is the percentage of learners completing curriculum year, which is not the kids in our schools. And the second is the percentage of learners obtaining a national senior certificate. And those are the kids who have completed. We are worried in this objective about the kids who haven't completed school, so they're not going to get the national senior certificate. So neither of these indicators actually talk to the objective. And there are a couple of other examples, like learner well-being, where we talk about poverty and drug abuse and all the things that we care about, and then we indicate our two indicators that will feed the kids and will de-worm them. And it doesn't talk about poverty and drug abuse and all of those other things at all. Now, some way, my question then is, where are those detailed targets? Some way those detailed targets must be written. You must have a plan. I don't believe you don't. You must have a plan about learner how are you going to reduce the number of children who are failing? There must be a plan. How are we going to deal with drug abuse in our schools, with bullying? There must be a plan. With targets, I'm sure. Where are those detailed targets? I mean, I would love to see a very fat APP with all of the targets, so we can
measure and hold to account. It is our job. But my question then is, well, I'm sure you have the toilets. Where are they available? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Ladies and gentlemen, my first intake is to thank the minister. I never heard anyone thanking me and the deputy minister for the job which you are doing. If they did, I emphasize the thanks which you are doing, the good work. And also the invitation to the National Teaching Teacher Power. It was well planned and we had a very, very nice time. Give it up. Also the prize is all fast. That was so fast to those who have won. You see, I've even seen a car moving around. I thought one was coming to me, but
a lot of them.
Chairperson, on the issue of what is the flight? Number one flight. I saw that you are going to do this social mobilization. I don't know whether the issue of psychologists are coming are part of that welfare, because in most of the time in the inclusive education, the teachers do identify those things. And the problem is, what do you do with those learners identified? Which this is coupled by the grade R learners, who are in the post-establishment of the school, but they are not put in the mainstream of the school, and they are not calculated as in the school. So which, because they are still part of the principal, they have to be guided by the principal, but they are not part of the school, and which disadvantage the school in one in your respect. On the issue of infrastructure, I've visited some schools like Barberton Primary and Barberton High School. I have seen schools with built with asbestos. I don't know whether that is the correct word, asbestos. And my understanding, that's a very dangerous way of a material of building schools. What do you do about those schools? I've mentioned some here. Maybe there may be many. On our visit, portfolio visit, most especially KwaZulu-Natal and the one that I did in Mpumalanga. And when I passed maybe to Johannesburg, just bypassed to a school at any time. You find that some schools are not visited, or some of the ones. So. And when you ask, what are the reasons? Is it they tell you about kilometers. We are limited. We have to travel 1,700 kilometers per month. Then, don't you have something to say to these to provinces to increase or have a normal standard of dealing with those issues of kilometers? Because if we want to monitor, how do we do if kilometers are limited? The same issue of rural schools. The rural schools. I have heard of the school of choice in terms of scholar transport. But the schools that I have visited, I don't know whether it's my understanding. To me, it's not a school of choice, and to the department, to the officials I've spoken to, they are not school of choice. Where a school is full, this school is full, and the school is forced to the kids are forced to go to another school 5 kilometers away because this one is full. This is full. I have got two schools, it's the one primary school and MP Makapo, where they have been giving the routes have been there for 3 years, 3 or more years. And all of a sudden, these schools' routes have been closed. You see, but a contract was issued. So, if you can look at those data. And then, last but not least, the issue of us talking to the Department of Basic Education, talking to the higher education portfolio of the department. I have noted with concern that most teachers, new teachers that are coming from universities, They are afraid of the learners, still afraid of it. You see, the school environment, to me, looks like, Minister, is the issue of practicals. Practicals for teachers have been lessened, and the focus is on research. It's only on research. But these people who are preparing them to go into schools to teach, aren't we? Is there any way where we can talk to the higher education and say, no, let there be more practicals to be prepared? Yes. Then the negative on the decrease, page 18, says, oh, you have said decrease, increase, decrease, decrease, and you have put percentage. I would request, if it's a decrease, there should be a minus. You know, I'm reading a lot of books. And then when one says about decrease, there is no minus there, and I think it's still increase. There must be a minus 6.3, so that must be easy for us to say. And the positive, even if you don't put anything, we know that, no, it's sharp. Thank you very much.
Thank you, the department, for the good presentation that you have just given us, and the good effort to change the system for better. Chairperson, I've got a few questions that I wanted to raise, I think some of them already they have been raised, and I'll just stick to those that were not captured. I think also I must thank the department for having recognized and appreciating the good performance by the teachers in the different schools, and even the event that was hosted there. But I want to plead for schools now, that even the schools must be recognized for their good performance, especially schools that are disadvantaged and that are doing enough to make sure that irrespective of the conditions and the situations, they are able to produce good, well-rounded students. So I think there must be a form of an incentive. At first, I thought that the Dina Ladies program was also trying to do that. Although understanding the background of why it has to be refined into a grant that it is going to be, I think that we must not we must avoid a situation where schools like that. That have maintained good performance, they end up being demoralized. I know that most of the schools will start wanting to perform better, and the possibility is that it can have a negative bearing on the budget of the department. But I would suppose that also with the visionary leadership of the department, they will be able to find a way in which to encourage them to do better without expecting anything. Chairperson, I want to talk to the issue of the budget. We have heard about the cuts and the reductions that are happening, particularly in some of the core functions. I want to check why did the department agree that they, you know, specifically on ACD and Karibude, we must have a cut. I know that it might be happening to a certain extent in provinces, but for me, Chairperson, I thought it was going to be better if the department could have reconsidered agreeing to those two core functions being cut, the budget for them, the allocations to be cut, because I think they are the part of the reason why that department exists. For me, it was going to be better if the department could have come up with a better intervention mechanism to assist to the situation rather than to allow the process whereby you end up having to lose funds, particularly that we know that there are still shortages of infrastructure in whichever form, not only the physical infrastructure, but I still believe that we could have held on to the little bit of and then it also leads to a question wherein I would to two questions that relate to whether this time around have we made the correct calculations. We will not be driven back to a reduction in the budget, or we will not be led to a situation wherein right in the middle of the year we have to request an increment in the budget. The other point would relate to the issue of still on the budget, whether there is a rollover. I don't see anywhere in the budget where you highlight that there's going to be a rollover, and that rollover, which items are affected by that rollover, how much is it that rollover, where are we going to see that? And then in the provinces also, you look at the allocations, the grant subsidies that are there, and they are increasing year on, year in, year out. But once in a while, when we are in meetings, we'll get a report that we are not able to properly account for the funds that we have disbursed to the provinces. I don't see in the plan of the department stating how are they going to reinforce or strengthen the provincial department to be in a position to effectively account and manage the resources that have been allocated to them. And I think it's a worrying factor, Chairperson. We have seen there in the non-negotiables of the department, spearheaded by the minister, where she highlights that ICTs are going to be part of Operation Pakisa, and the issue of the incremental introduction of African languages. I think it was going to be appropriate for us to get an expansion on that, on those two areas of my interest, in order for us to be able to know what exactly is going to happen and how we can effectively do oversight on the two and others, not only those two, like maybe the whatever. Are we going to start with a pilot of two provinces, or we are going to roll out throughout the country? How are we going to be able to measure it? What are the targets? There seems to be no targets. It's there. I think the funds are allocated, but it's going to be a bit difficult for us to effect a good oversight without those key elements. The other point, Chairperson, most of my points were made. Yes, let me go, Chairperson. Can I request your indulgence? Just on two sentences. On page 40 of the annual performance plan, there are no targets that have been highlighted. And I think the point links to what the Chairperson earlier on raised with regard to the targets that we set as the department. I would understand the fact that there you indicate that it's an annual reporting period, but I think that it would be proper if we have in the first quarter how much are we having I'm going to take 33 like that, or the department will give us the correct figure. The last one for chapter 2 is on page 44. On goal 14, I want to propose that you recraft that goal, wherein say you are attracting a new group of young motivated and potential teachers to the training profession every year, like potential. You must target young people who have not entered the institutions of higher and instill the need for them to study towards education. Let's not target all those who are already there in the sector. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I remember for this question. I'll also have one or two for you. The first one for me is that I believe when we allocate funds for NSMP, as we have said, I mean, even if it was the minister, it was going to look at the targets when it comes to the school nutrition program. One mentioned the number of students. Why are we not targeting the learner where the funds follow the learner other than the school? Because for me, the target does not give us, you know, exactly the value for money. Instead of the school, why are we not saying we're targeting a number of learners? That is where, for me, I think the numbers will give us a clearer picture other than the target that you are doing. Secondly, I'm not interested in this grant that the new grant that you just introduced, Net Science and Technology Conditional Grant, vis-à-vis the Pinalese school. Are we saying today, how are we going to, are we no more talking of Pinalese? I don't know how to put this. Pinalese, we have combined the grant. So now we are no more going to focus on what the grant is doing on Pinalese school. What will be the status of the now? With the new grant, are we still supporting the existing Pinalese schools? Or we are saying, with the new grant that is there now, we are saying, we are just targeting the schools that are following Methodist, you know. How are we going to monitor it? Talk to us more about this grant, which is very important. We know the shortcomings that we have when it comes to those subjects, but let us understand what is it that you mean about this for us to sort of follow up. Another one that I would love to talk to you about is the issue of inclusive education. Around the issues of brain, all these the devices, the supporting devices that you are talking about, what is it that you are targeting? What I know when it talks to high level of cost, when it comes to that, but we need to start somewhere. Where are we? What are our targets moving forward when it comes to the issue of inclusive education? Minister Kalukuri is one of the good stories that you have to talk about, and you are saying you are in a mock-up period now because the program is coming to an end, which is quite it's not a nice thing to hear. But for me, again, it remains to say, Minister, we'll be awaiting a report then from the department saying this is where the program started, this is where we were, and now where we are, what our gains, what is the best we have achieved, for us to be able even to accept some of the questions, a lot of questions that have been raised to say why cards were moving towards the end. And unfortunately, Minister, even last week in our presentation, there was sort of an indication that the targets and the numbers that we've been getting on cards somehow, some way, there was not a true reflection of what is happening in such a way that on the targets there was a cut of about 200,000, if I know what you can already remember, you can remind me. So from all those discrepancies that we are getting from the report, we will be very happy to get a full report on currently to say what is it that has been targeted throughout the years, what is it that we have gained for us to be able to wrap up the program as we are coming up on it.
Thank you.
On negotiating with number 9 negotiable number 8, I know you cannot unpack these 9 negotiable, maybe to reflect here again on the APP and the strategic plan, but I'm not much interested on saying when you talk of rural schools, we want to improve the conditions in the rural schools. Again, as a committee, we'll be expecting to hear what are you saying about the issue of incentives to the rural schools, you know, the issue of retention of qualifying teachers in the rural schools, when you are recruiting even the schools that you share, what is it? All these issues of demonstrating what they because they go directly to that point of rural schools, how are you improving the conditions there? The very last one. The very last one. Minister, today in the new age, we are learning of the school in Limpopo, Ramana Primary Schools, where it is said they are no teachers at all. It is said that the children have been taking only 2 subjects, which is surrender and mathematics, because the principal is offering them, and they only go for the means. It's one of the things that you cannot hide there on the newspaper. For me, I know you might not have the response now, but those are the issues that you need to make a follow up on, and as a committee will be waiting. And there is another school in the Northwest called Sikita High School. Again, it's the same issue where it is that there's no warm body in front of them and us, of which we cannot define it about as a committee. Or we are here to say, Minister in the department, can you make a follow up where it is that no language teachers treated as technology up from January up until now? Those
jobs. No language teacher. No?
There's no language teacher, no creative arts teacher, no technology teacher. You know.
No, it's about the kingdom of the mathematics teacher, the science teacher.
Yeah, with that one, I think there are those, only those. So those are the things that you are saying as the cultural committee. That is what you are always saying, that you must make sure that there is a own body in front of Robert and I. We would love really if we can make a follow up on those things and come back to us and say the situation has changed and those learners are having teacher in front of them. Thank you so much. You can start as well.
I just want to comment, specifically the member from the because this issue around targets, I think it is issue. And I wanted to say, I think we also have to be sensitive to, but then there's an assumption that there's a benchmark. Because we target on the base level information, or we have established a benchmark. And I think don't benchmark because you know they have questions. If I want to be expected to say what's the target for reducing teenage pregnancy, it assumes that we know how many kids are going to fall pregnant. But if I want to ask us to target everything, and especially in the South areas, it assumes that we know how many kids are going to fall pregnant. So what we will say is that we will put measures in place to teach sex education to reduce teenage pregnancy. But we won't give you targets because you don't know what to expect. We're expected to give you targets on drug abuse. It's assuming that we know how many kids are on drugs. And how many will be on drugs. And therefore, the target is that we will reduce drug intake by learners and 10%. We don't have that benchmark. Maybe we should. But what we say, we put measures in place to ensure that we educate kids about the dangers of drugs and reduce the intake of drugs. But the soft area, and most of the areas we are citing, the soft areas where we are expected to put targets, I agree that in most areas we are probably trying to do, to try and get benchmarks for us to be able to say, this is how we can be monitored. But in some of the areas, we really don't have information ourselves, but we know we have to give it. So even on these ones, we know from health research to say 30% of kids lose their vision as they grow up. And that nothing commissioners will do. So what you will say will accept or Leonard and identify Leonard's needs, and but we don't have a baseline for which we can target. So the point I'm trying to make, we don't have a baseline to target for, especially for areas. In some areas we are supposed to have targets to have the baseline, but we have not worked out the baseline. So by not putting some targets, just be honest, because we don't have that baseline information. Let's be honest to say to you, we reduce this by so much percentage. And that's why it's been analyzed. The first time that we have baseline information through which we are saying we're going to improve literacy rate, and it's because your baseline sometimes take time for you. Hey, even now, we're still working just to stabilize and to make sure that the baseline we're working on is on solid ground and the intrinsic of materials to service the baseline. And therefore, then can then say to you, we will reduce literacy by this percentage, met by this percentage. Which is because we only have targets for, and I think that's what I presented. So the sum of the information is not contained in the strategic plan. Your academic targets are in other documents. We have targets, and that's what we said upfront. That in the deliberate agreement with the president, we are saying literacy, what is our target, numerical rich grade. So they're contained in other documents. So it's not. The metric one is the only one, but all the other academic targets are there in your Geneva agreement on numeracy, literacy, grade by grade. So they are there, so it's not very accurate to say we don't have a target. The other generic point I want to make is also, which sometimes also myself confuses me about, the role of national level service provinces. Bottom line, we don't run schools. We make policies, we monitor. One for the first time, we do feel that there is a need, given the nation, to create capacity to support schools. On maintenance, all we can say as nationals, we will guide provinces in terms of what percentage they divide in terms of maintenance and in terms of new schools. But often in 7,000 schools, they're not going to be running effective terms. We can say to the provinces, that's part of the way, to maintain structures, these are the structures. But it's their responsibility, because they are responsible for the maintenance of schools and in the information. So it's not in a budget, it's a provincial budget, so they have full responsibility for that purpose. So all we can do is to really guide them in terms of how things should and monitor. Right? We made proposals about the fact that provinces have to think of bringing back to the full-time public work to make sure that it seems young people to have a cluster of schools that they service, but it's all things which we can't take responsibility because we have no control over it. It's not anything that we have authority even power over. We've made proposals about how we think schools must be maintained. What I think colleagues will even give you in terms of the numbers that are there. So again, it's not saying running away from problems, because sometimes it's also difficult to say where do we start. Where do we stop in terms of our key responsibility? And the fact that things are full government, with a full authority, with their budget, with their accountability line. So even if I would say to everything, 70% must go for infrastructure, 30% for. They get their budget from the province to their account to the MPs. All I can distribute is loans. Mine is to give loans, you only can support. That's the limit of the sector. So I've got even in other plans, so we keep on remembering what are the things. And that's why I like the chair when it says, go and investigate and give us a report. Right? So that there's quite clear where we start and stop. So that go and investigate, give us a report, or go and make recommendations and give us a report. Let me just, we'll follow up here on the speaker one, we'll follow also on the other and also, yeah, just come back to you and say what is your impression, because I'll tell you what my experience is. I'm really speculating, I'm not sure what the main issues are. Sometimes rural schools have a name which they, I always say, if you can't speak English, you're going to have to use your name. You go to these rural schools, they say, kids don't have an other culture. They say, why do you offer us for 3 years we never had an other culture teach? Say, why do you even have it in so many? Because you can't The non-incentive check is a big issue also which we're trying to do. Except for counting, all provinces are over. Western Cape is 40%, so maybe 30% even. The rest is rural. So this is something thing is a problem, because how do you differentiate in Limpopo when Polokwane and other things are, it is 80% rural, so it means that to give 80% of those incentives. And probably finally in there, but they were not able to put. And that's why it's a big seller, because 80%, almost 50% of the country is rural. So all teachers, which means who are not in housing, Cape Town and Devon are supposed to get that rural incentive. This is a big issue. I think initially they thought that it's just not working. We have a major problem with the compensation of employees. This is open. And this is also bringing more exactly. This is bringing more burden and strain to provinces. And provinces are not complete. That's why we have to reconsider some of these incentives. So it's a hot potato. We tried to stop it in the focus when they were experiencing lots of difficulties. Brought lots of problems for us. But on the other hand, it's great intention amongst teachers. So some are getting, some are not getting it. I think same school. So creating problems. And the provinces can't afford this. One time when they would give me a report, I think this is also something that probably thinking students about. Oh yes. I think you're quite correct at that point it could respond. After the teacher awards, we did an evaluation of the teacher awards. We did agree. Because we're going to do the district awards on Friday. We did agree that it was important even to begin to develop criteria for what for school awards. Because we really believe that it will really incentivize especially schools that work well. We talk about them anecdotally. And I think that it's important to recognize those teachers who are under just difficult conditions do their best under them, so to really motivate those schools and those teachers. So we are really looking at that category. We won't be able to do this. So we thought we will, when we're evaluating that, we'll even link it up to your district support, so the best performing district, and then have maybe the top 100 schools. We're not going to create a problem. There's going to be a stampede to those schools. That's the other thing also. If you start picking up cities of your top 100 schools, parents go to their feet. You've seen the township what they do. That's all. So it's a good thing, but it also has strength in terms of the sector. But we do believe that we should be able to acknowledge and recognize that school. So I don't know if that's a response to those and just the target going. The targets have to be very verifiable, they have to be scientific. So we need to have a scientific basis for saying the target is this is a target, and we build it over time to really have a best benchmark. Even up to now, we're not sure, we still are working very hard to make sure that kind of benchmark is very scientific, very reliable, very, all the core scientific. Yeah, two of them. So, in some of the areas, we can say, programs, we know that we're to address, but there's no scientific basis. We know our kids are contracted, but we don't know how many are contracted next year. We know our kids are in games, that we know which are the hot spots, but we don't know how many kids are fought, so that we can't take it to say, we can't say, we know in these areas, we say, and what we do is work with police to help us with a zero tolerance of gangsters. We can say how far we're going to be able to cut, but maybe we need to, with time, especially the Lena Williams thing, so that we can use to monitor for making progress there. And say we have reduced teenage pregnancy to zero, we reduce the rest to zero, but we don't have that baseline for us to be honest to say this is the target, because this is the baseline. So that should take those other colleagues who take other too. We also had an appointment from our 12th chair in one, so if we won't want to meet, we won't take a person for the people who can meet.
Thank you very, very much, Jake. I'm just going to deal very quickly, very swiftly with the issues. With regard to libraries, to close up, the range of books that are available. So within the school context, for example, somebody asked earlier about mobile libraries. There are 868 mobile libraries in the country. So it's not like it's non-existent. With regard to school libraries, without adequate resources, there are 2,055 libraries that are not adequately resourced, whereas there are 3,992 libraries that are resourced. So we've done the data, and we're looking particularly at what you've raised. To say which of the, you know, there may be an existing library, is it sufficiently resourced in terms of books and the range of books that are required. And we're also working closely with the local municipalities to ensure that when those facilities are for used by learners, what is it that we've got to do to augment the resources. With regard to water provision, it's very, very interesting to look at this reality. In 1996, more than 15,000 schools without adequate water sanitation. We are now in 2015, less than 1,000 overall without water electricity. We've moved significantly. But what the minister is saying is that you can't condone even a single school without water sanitation. And therefore, we've got to basically be very, very firm in terms of our commitment. We've raised it, and the minister has raised it very strongly in the last few years as well, to say this has to be prioritized. You cannot have a school without water. And that's why they started this thing. But I think what you're trying to convey to us, that even where there is a borehole, for example, that is functional today, tomorrow it might be dry. So your 100% is a moving target, as it were, and that point we certainly accept and recognize as an important thing. The issue about the first aid kit is an important one, because every school should have a sick bay, so with a first aid kit. So I don't think there's any arguments about that. With regard to the ICT, the relevant training, I told you about the generic training that takes place in the 3 grades, but we have what we call e-learning specialists that we've appointed in order to ensure that when we provide ICT, it is not just the hardware that goes there, the software. It also means that you have to have specialists that could train the teachers. And we're combining our librarian with an ICT specialist, because libraries are no longer libraries with the conventional books that are available. Libraries are also sources of information, the information centers, where people with the technical skills to access this information might be able to assist both the learners and the educators. So it's an innovative way of providing this e-learning specialist within schools to provide the same development. I just thought, you know, it's a pity Mr. Lovemore is not here, because the issue is that we discovered, and in fact, the conversation with that about 5 years ago, we had 200,000 learners in the past. Currently, we have more than 800,000. 5 years ago, there were children, there were practitioners that even have matric teaching in these schools. Today, at least, we have a norm where we say minimum is level 4, but we are working towards level 6. We can say that all our school science practitioners have at least a level 4, and about 2/3 of them have acquired level 6. There's about almost 30%, if I'm not mistaken, that are now actually graduates with a qualification in as they are practitioners. 5 years ago, we had no resource materials for kids. Today, they have 4 books, whether you're black or white, quintile 1 or quintile 5. These are free of charge. So we've moved significantly in terms of providing. 5 years ago, there were no standards for grade R classes. Now we have standards. Look at every new school that we build. We have specially designed classes for grade R, which is different from grade 1 class. Now, these are important milestones. Now, to theoretically say, this is a minimum target, as if nothing is happening. We've done extremely well, in my humble opinion, in terms of the provision. We've got to do more and we've got to do better. But we are moving in the right direction. And I thought that's something that I would like to share with the minister spoken about the other elements. I just thought, with regard to the asbestos, and that's Mr. Guni that has raised the issues about that, the Fatini deals with the replacement of muscle, replacement of unsafe food, and asbestos forms part of the unsafe structure. And therefore, you would find wherever they exist across the country, they would be progressively eliminated. So the primary schools in the Western Cape, for example, are being replaced by solid structures. So too are the asbestos schools in the different provinces. So this situation, those are all going to be replaced through the city programs. In fact, the city programs cover about 573 schools, which includes much schools and all the asbestos schools. I almost think that, this maybe what the chair means about the Denaleni budget. It is a creative way of looking at it. We're not saying that take your budget away from Denaleni, but we are saying, and this is, in fact, you know, listening to Mr. Fuller. We have to provide all the analytic schools with medicine, science, textbooks, for example, because these are able classes. The question is, what about the other schools? And if we can do so creatively on scale, as we've done, we'll be able to provide all levels in grade 10 and 12 with medicine, science books. So, where to get the resources? If you do work it out very, very cleverly, you will be able to utilize that resource allocated to the DLA, but to have a huge, bigger impact to provide all the particular resource. So, your focus area on DLA will continue, but with creative ways of utilizing those resources to have a bigger impact can be made through the utilization of these resources. And historically, if you look at the budget of provinces, you would find that the item that has been underutilized consistently has been DLA. And we think rather than that money being lost, we'd rather make a huge bigger impact in terms of that, but we take to seriously to heart what you've raised there. I almost think that is where my contribution will end, because there are many more responses, but I think the department will be able to do it. And I could join my minister with your permission and share the support at meeting before today.
Ultimately, you want to reach 80 hours. That is able to support to respond adequately around appointing the right person to become a principal, what is it that we, how will we prepare the situation? One, to adopt a teaching framework that providers such as high education institutions can use, and secondly, around the development of assessment. Ministers have decided the standards for South African principals, which emphasizes on two key areas. What are the core values of principalship? And what are the competencies for a person to become a principal? Because those two instruments, those two areas, are able to inform the assessment standards across the system to say, these are now the agreed upon standards for principalship. Secondly, to support the bill that the minister spoke about at length, and which really tried to solve a key question around the locus of authority. Who is actually supposed to appoint a principal, also to make a recommendation? That is the key issue that needs to be looked into. And we have already developed the procedures for the selection and the promotion of principal teachers to become principal, because an evidence-based approach is important, and also taking of the assessment. So they are able to say that this person is competent to become a teacher because of the following attributes. Quite a number. We are also already underway in terms of training, of having developed modules and training towards the training of principals on curriculum management. That process is ongoing. I think before the end of this month, we shall have trained your second manager. So it will be difficult if you can train principals on that aspect without training your second manager, who in turn need to monitor whether principals are monitoring or are really focusing on curriculum management or not. So this is exactly what we are doing. So I said, let me just, beyond what the minister and the business minister added, I wanted us to add only those two aspects. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I will deal very briefly with two issues. One is the matter of kitchens for innocents. Now, the minister and both the deputy minister and minister have dealt with the issue, but we working very closely with a range of corporates, and we've been able to, over the last 3 and a bit years, provide about almost 300 mobile kitchens. These are containers that are specifically equipped with a refrigerator, a gas stove, areas that the teachers can then use to cook and prepare the food. And of course, what we want to do over the next year is to encourage corporates to come on board. It costs about 300 to 350,000 rand per container, equipped container. And so the call must be, because of the state budgets that we have in government, that we have to work with partners in order to continue to provide them. The matter of why we have schools as a target for innocents and not learners is really a logistical, practical problem. I mean, I can tell you that we're currently feeding 9.2 million learners a day. But I can't guarantee that that's the total that we see every single day in the system. And that's the difficulty. Because if we have learners as a target, what the AGE requires is that we provide evidence that we see that number every day. Now, logistically, as an official sitting in Pretoria, it's very difficult to monitor that on an ongoing basis every single day. We are trying to be creative around this, because some of the difficulties that we've had with the implementation of the program in Limpopo. And one of the conversations we're having with some of our telecommunications companies is the possibility of sending independent monitors to the school with a mobile device, and on any single day they can then update us in real time. But we're only at the piloting stage of that, and so we have to look at costs, because what you also don't want
now begin to spend the bulk of your money on monitoring the program instead of feeding the learners in schools. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Member. There was a question that was raised on why does the department agree to budget cuts? On this one, the department does not necessarily have control of the amount that is being cut. What we try, because the budget has been cut every year for the past 5 years, and then in the beginning we were trying to argue to say, but we need this money for A, B, C, and D. Now, if you indicate a program like ACD, you can say you can't have ACD cuts. We can't hold cuts, for example, school nutrition. So we don't really have control over that because we are cut an amount which is paid, but what has to be cut. And then Treasury comes up with a suggestion. But if you don't agree with that, we can put forward those, but it doesn't mean the amount will be cut. It will be cut, but it will be taken from somewhere else. And then the question on have we made correct calculations? That one, I cannot guarantee that because there are needs that arise during the year that might need funding. So if there is a pressing need that comes during the year and it needs to be funded, we then work within the legislation. I mean, we don't work outside that. We go according to what is prescribed by National Treasury for us to shift funds around. And then the last one is on the rollovers. The rollovers cannot be included at this time because we don't know what rollovers are going to require. At the moment, we're concentrating on paying all the invoices that we are receiving, and hopefully there won't be a need for a rollover, but that will be it will depend on what happens by the 31st of March. However, the information on rollovers will be included in the third quarter report of the economy. Thank you.
Thank you, DG, and Chair and Honourable Members. Chair, let me just indicate that 76% as a target is a learning outcome target. These are the number of learners who passed, as against the number of learners who wrote the National Senior Certificate. So it is a learning outcome target. Your target could be either quantitatively or qualitatively. Qualitatively will be the number of learners who have passed in bachelor's. Now the target that has been put here is your quantitative target, not a qualitative target. And there are many sub-indicators in the plan, annual performance plan, and even the five-year plan, which are linked to learning outcomes. It's a great pity the honorable member is not here. But as the minister correctly pointed out, and I want to get into the issue of retention, it is not wise to rush into putting retention targets when you are busy sorting out the system. Earlier on, we had a discussion around the pathways that we have in the system. Until the system has stabilized in terms of pathways available to learners, it is not advisable to rush into retention targets. Let me give an example. Quite a number of learners exit the system after grade 9, and they go to FET colleges. Because once you have completed grade 9, you can join any FET college and then start with that FET college. And if you're putting targets at the time when the system is not even able to even tell you that so many learners have left the system and gone, until you synchronize the systems, it might also be problematic to do that. But I also wanted to share with you that if you look at, if we talk about throughput rate in grade 12, you take a longitudinal study of that. By 1970, you were able to produce 43,000 Lena 1970 who have gone through matric and have passed matric for grade 12. And then by 2013, that number went to 439,779. That is the throughput rate. And I'm saying, if you're thinking about retention, you have to take those things into account. And probably the last but one chair is around, the only reason why we moved beyond Dinaledi and Technical High School is to make the resources available for other schools, as the deputy minister correctly pointed out. But we're still using the 200 Technical High Schools to reach out to the rest of the schools. We're still using the 500 Dinaledi schools to reach out to the rest of the schools. They would still be there and be used as a conduit to reach our target of excellence. And then around Karikude, just to indicate that there's a gross misunderstanding. You know, when the Karikude program started, the intention was to put 4.7 adults in South Africa who could not read and write. I don't even want to complicate it and say who were functionally literate. Who could not read and write. Put them through the program. And later on came in the notion of evaluating and making sure that each one of them presents a portfolio of evidence of demonstrating a level of competence. Not many countries do that. They just put you through a program that affords you basic numeracy and literacy. Once you have gone that and you are registered, you have gone through the program, and then there are records, it means so many numbers. I mean, so many numbers of people have gone through the program, let alone demonstrating a particular competence. Now, the AG came back. I suspect that the issue of the wrong numbers might have come from the AG. The AG then said to us, no, no, you have to give us the numbers of people who have demonstrated competence, not the numbers of people who have gone through the program. Anyone can go and read the ministerial report on this. The ministerial report was about the number of adults who could not read and write who have gone through the program. And the issue of testing their competency came later. I tried to explain this thing to the AG. I am convinced that I am unsuccessful. And I don't agree with them. They know that I don't agree with them. The DG knows that I don't agree with them. And they also don't agree with me.
Thank you, Chair. I think there are some others that will report back, which we will agree to the Minister to bring the Commission feedback.
Thank you so much, Honourable Members. Our department, at least as from today, we know what is it that is going to be happening in our second financial year. Indeed, you are still going to be very soon on the 40% report. We'll try to put an end and continue to check on the commitments and the target that the government is having just from now. Thank you very much, honorable members, which are put in action, and I think we're in the position to unpack whatever areas that we don't understand and to get more clarity on. But before I close the meeting, this is our last meeting for the 10th. DJ, I'm sorry. DJ, I was still having ELRC as one of our entities for the FMG registered. What is the figure around them? Because I can feel it's something that you have a decision that you have to make up.